Johnny.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Looking like a pop star has never been easier. You won't believe your eyes when we grant the makeover wish of a lifetime. You'll witness dramatic body contouring procedures. Premiering the ultimate reality show.
Entertainment, perhaps. Reality, no. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons is concerned for your safety. Plastic surgery is real surgery with great benefits, but also carries some risks. Be realistic, be informed, choose a surgeon certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
For more information, go to plasticsurgery.org or call 1-888-4-PLASTIC.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon, Guy James Show listeners. So glad to have you with us this afternoon. Yes, indeed we are. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida. And it is a beautiful day here today. About 83 degrees and a little bit humid. Going to cool off tomorrow, though. I hear tomorrow morning we're going to have a low of 48 degrees. My, oh, my, the people around here will go crazy. 48 degrees in the morning. Wow. I can handle it, though. Hey, we're glad to have you with us today, whether you be here locally in Fort Myers or Naples area, or whether you be any place in the world. And welcome to all of you out there on the Internet right now. We're so glad to have you with us. We have our computer in the studio this week, so we have the Guy James thread going on the Democratic Underground program. You can check in there if you like to. And welcome to all of you folks here from Democratic Underground and Democrats.com and SmirkingChimp.com and all the great websites around the Internet. We have so much to cover this week, and I mean a lot. My goodness, I don't know where to start. We're going to have Steve Crockett on with us about 3:30, and I know some of you don't know who Steve Crockett is. Some of you do. Steve had a radio program up in Tennessee, a liberal Democratic talk show called Democratic Talk Radio. How could you name it anything better than that? And we are going to talk about the trials and tribulations of, well, of having a liberal Democratic radio talk show. It's a tough road to hoe, believe me. Hey, and speaking of Democratic liberal talk shows, yours truly is going to undergo a big change very, very soon, and I might as well tell you about it right now. We are moving. We are here at the Wink WNOG, WPTK. There's about seven radio stations here. Anyway, we're going to move to some of our sister stations. We're going to move over to Wink 1240 and WNOG 1270 here in Fort Myers and Naples area. We're going to do that, I think, on January the 8th. I think that's the first Saturday in January after New Year's Day. So we're going to be changing over, and we're also going to be changing the time. It's going to be from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m., and we will be expanding our listening audience by quite a little bit by doing that, and we're glad to stay here with this company. It's a great facility here, and again, we're going to be with Wink WNOG on Saturdays from 7 to 10, and we'll be streaming the show live to all of you on the Internet at that same time. Okay, you got that down. I'll be mentioning it once again several times. You can call the program today at 888-602-7500-7501-0304. Let me get that straight again. 888-602-7500-7501-7503-7504. You got to skip number two. We're having technical problems with that. But locally, 479-5540 in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. And we'd be glad to hear from all of you. So much went on this week. You know, just when you think you've heard it all, And I want to warn Biz just a little bit ahead of time. I'm going to be doing something here on the. I'm going to be doing a little audio here very, very shortly. Don't want to take anybody by surprise. But when you think you've heard it all, just when no one from this administration could possibly make a more disgusting comment than the dozens and dozens of other gaffes they've made in the last 4 years, along comes Donald Rumsfeld, our distinguished Secretary of Defense, with this little gem.
Now, why do we soldiers have to dig through local landfills for pieces of scrap metal and compromised ballistic glass to up-armor our vehicles, and why don't we have those resources readily available to us?
I missed the first part of your question, and could you repeat it for me?
Yes, Mr. Secretary. Our soldiers have been fighting in Iraq for coming up on 3 years. A lot of us are getting ready to move north relatively soon. Our vehicles are not armored. We're digging pieces of rusted scrap metal and compromised ballistic glass that's already been shot up, dropped, busted, picking the best out of this scrap to put onto our vehicles to take into combat. We do not have proper armament vehicles to carry with us north.
I talked to the general coming out here about the pace at which the vehicles are being armored. They have been brought from all over the world, wherever they're not needed, to a place here where they are needed. I'm told that they're being, the Army is, I think it's something like 400 a month are being done. And it's essentially a matter of physics. It isn't a matter of money. It isn't a matter on the part of the Army of desire. It's a matter of production and capability of doing it. As you know, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you might want or wish to have at a later time.
You know,
there is an enormous cost to saving lives. We may have to rethink this, ladies.
Rush Limbaugh trying to horn in on the program there. As you know, you go to war with the army you have, not with the army you wish you had. The army you wish you have, Mr. Secretary, the army you wish you had. You know, what a lousy thing to say. What an insult to our soldiers, every last one of them. We don't have the army we wish we had, but we only have you see. That's right. We wish we had a better army, and I'm in charge of making a better army, but I didn't. And all we have is you, not what we wish we had. That's from Mr. Rumsfeld. So you're a National Guardsman. You had to up and leave your wife, your kids, your job, your home. You had to leave all of that behind and go to a hellhole called Iraq to fight in a war that was totally misguided and unnecessary in the first place. And you're shipped to that godforsaken place and find that in order to be halfway safe from roadside bombs, shoulder-fired missiles, and other projectiles, one of your first duties upon arriving in that glorious country is to go over to the Army's junkyard and start digging for old bulletproof glass and rusty old armor for the Humvee you're going to be patrolling in. Now, the guys over at Halliburton, whom you are helping to protect, they're skimming billions of dollars from the military which wasn't properly protecting its soldiers in the first place. Those Halliburton guys are riding around in the latest bomb-resistant vehicles. Money's no object to Halliburton because they're, after all, charging the government for five-star meals for you, our soldiers, when you know you're eating nearly garbage. They leave $40,000 and $50,000 vehicles abandoned along the road because they won't change a flat tire. And you who are the pride of the United States military, you can't get enough armor to keep yourself from getting blown up by even a small roadside bomb. You know why that is? Because you have a Secretary of Defense and a President of the United States who don't give a damn about your safety, because you and your buddies are expendable, but Halliburton isn't. You see, the Halliburtons of the world employ people like, like Mr. Dick Cheney, and help make them filthy rich. Would you care to know how many ex-military generals work for Halliburton and companies like them? I don't think you really want to know. You know, half of America is driving around in cars with those plastic stick-on ribbons which say support our troops. And I've got a question for all those folks and all of those who recently coronated George Bush as king. My question to you folks, is George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld supporting our troops? Are they? The answer is no, hell no. No president who truly cared about his military men and women would even think of sending those troops into battle without the utmost protection available to them. But Bush and Rumsfeld, no. You young men and women, just go on over to Iraq and we'll send you some body armor and vehicle armor a little later. Don't worry about it. You can bet your bottom dollar that if the Bush kids or the kids of Bush administration officials had to go to the war, they'd have the finest armor and protection known to man. But Joe Sixpack's kids can't get their arms and... They can get their arms and legs blown off. That's okay. They can get maimed and blown to bits. But it's okay, you see, because they're people who just don't matter. They're just regular people, not the aristocracy class who rules the Bush administration. You know, there's a big difference between regular blue bloods and the Bush-type ruling class. Many of our nation's wealthy people give fortunes to charity, many of them, or have charitable foundations. Theresa Hines Carey one, for example. They help the poor. Tell me, what's the Bush family done along those lines? They are very rich, you know. Very rich. You don't know how rich, though, do you? No. Because it's a very carefully guarded secret as to how much money the Bush family has amassed from the Carlyle Group and other ventures. You never hear what the Bush family's worth, do you? No. Let me know. Just let me know if you hear any of the Bushes giving big bucks to charity. But more importantly, let me know if you hear of George W. Bush taking a personal interest in the safety of soldiers that he's sacrificing for his ridiculous notion that he's going to be the personal savior of millions of Muslim people in the Middle East by setting them free, by giving them democracy, whatever that means. So far, I don't think they like democracy and Bush-style freedom so well. If they do, they've got an odd way of showing it. You know, you got to face it, folks. Yes, there are terrorists in Iraq right now. They moved in after Saddam was ousted. But much of the violence is coming from regular, ordinary Iraqis, and that is a fact. It's also a fact that when tanks from another country are driving through your streets, killing your wives and your children, and crushing your home, making your life a living hell, because of nighttime raids, dropping napalm, and every other kind of munitions known to man, if you are any kind of man at all, you will resist. I sure hate to think that my fellow Americans wouldn't do the same thing faced with that same scenario. I know I would. So, Mr. Rumsfeld, I don't know what kind of army you wish you had, but I do know what kind of Secretary of Defense and President I wish we had. And you and Mr. Bush aren't even close, because you're men of low morals and low ethics. You would never allow this to go on about this body armor and armor for the Humvees if you really cared about the troops. You know, this isn't the first time we heard about this. We heard about this 2 years ago, didn't we? Oh, yes, we heard about it then. And they said they'd take care of the problem. And Rumsfeld has the temerity to stand in front of those guys the other day and say, well, this isn't a physical thing. It's not a money thing. We got the money. We could do it. But, you see, we just didn't have the facilities to do it. And so we go to the factories where they make this armor. And we go to the factories where they make these Humvees. And the people running them saying, well, wait a minute. No, we've got production capacity available, and we told the Secretary of Defense that. We told him that we could make more at any time. Turns out the Humvee factory can turn out 50% more Humvees, and the armor factory 22% more, but they haven't gone the extra mile because Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld never asked him to. He's known about this problem for a long, long time. A long, long time. And what's he done about it? Had to wait until a National Guardsman asked a question to even bring it up again. I'm so ashamed of that. I'm so ashamed, so very, very ashamed of that. It's terrible. It's terrible. How could a man with a conscience do such a thing? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to search your soul over that. If you're a backer of the Bush administration and these people that he has appointed, I want you to think about that situation and think about it closely. Examine it all. Would a Secretary of Defense and a President of the United States, would they really, really allow our soldiers to be needlessly slaughtered and maimed for life if they really cared? What a pity. What an absolute pity. Well, 888-602-7500-7501-7503-7504. 479-5540 here locally if you're going to give us a call. We've got a lot to talk about today. First, right off today, I want to say hello to a group of guys that I met with a couple of weeks ago, a great group of guys down at Bentley Village in Naples. We had a meeting in the afternoon and talked about the program, and it was a terrific meeting, and I certainly enjoyed them, and they've decided to help support this program, and I appreciate that so very much. And anyway, I want to say hello to those fellas. We're going to go to the phones right now. Let's go to, well, I've got line one here, and says line one. Biz? I don't know. Let's go to John Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Hi. Good show today.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, I was reading Mother Jones magazine somebody gave to me for the October issue, and I'll tell you, it's just full of fantastic stuff. And in there, there's some articles that indicate Bush has signed more of these great-sounding bills, but with no funding. This is a habit that this man does all the time. If I was sitting in the group of those troops, and this man would have said, you go to war with the army you have, and not the one you dream of having, and so forth, I think I'd have said, well, since I'm not what you want, I'm going home.
Absolutely.
You know, now the Homeland Security guy, this ball-headed bozo, was really impressing me, and I was looking forward to him being in Homeland Security after I read Mother Jones, because they talked about Homeland Security. This is 22 agencies with 88 subcommittees always looking at them. And they're in a naval air station up there is where their base is, and it's like a garage or a warehouse. It's not really one of these sumptuous office buildings that these characters usually get themselves. And I'm sorry that he's leaving, because this guy really needed to be there to try to deal with all this mess that they've created with his Homeland Security, trying to tie all these agencies together and so forth. So I'm sorry in a way he's not going to be there, but I'm also glad that we're seeing this administration starting to do really, really stupid things, more stupid than they've done before, by appointing a guy they never even looked into his background. And if you heard Giuliani at the top of the news hour when they made his comments, because he's the one who recommended this man to the president.
Oh, yeah.
In his comment, he said he was sorry that they couldn't fix this problem, and then he caught himself and said, look into these things before this appointment. So, in other words, they slipped up, they didn't fix things like they fix everything else, and, you know, the American taxpayers, I just don't understand why they can't realize they're being duped by these people.
Well, you know, I predicted on this program last week that this guy wouldn't make it through the process. He's got a past a mile long.
I could see that without knowing anything about him, and then I have some friends from New York that, in fact, one of the fellows used to work with him, and it just says he's not that great, not the way the president built him up to be. And of course, when they're doing this first name basis, when he's introducing these people and this rather informalities that they seem to carry on, and I was surprised he didn't kiss him on the cheek like he did or on the lips like he did the other lady. Bush has been a very affectionate fellow, but he at least showed how buddy-buddy they were by calling by his first name. And but they're not doing their homework, and they're starting to slip up. And I hope they do a lot more of this so that the American they realize they've been duped into having this man as president?
Well, duped is the right word. Absolutely duped is the right word. We're going to talk a lot about that today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Steve up in Port Charlotte. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Sir, I'm a little disappointed that you kind of took that approach with Rumsfeld. I think anybody who really wanted to look at it objectively would realize that he is trying to basically say there's always room for improvement. Certainly it would be great to have every single soldier encapsulated in kryptonite so that nothing could ever happen to him.
Now, wait a minute.
And I mean,
two years ago he knew about this problem. He acknowledged that.
I agree with you. There's always
been plenty of capacity in the factories to make additional, and they've acknowledged that. How do you say that the guy in charge of this whole thing has not put the two together and got that over to Iraq? How do you excuse that?
I'm not excusing it. I'm saying there's always room for improvement.
Well, there's room for improvement with thieves and bank robbers. But I mean, this guy is in charge. When does somebody in the Bush administration take personal responsibility for one of these horrible screw ups? The problem of this goes straight to Donald Rumsfeld's desk.
Are you going to let me speak? You're going to keep going.
Well, listen, it happens to be my show, and I'll speak when I want to speak. Okay.
Absolutely.
But you can't call in here and defend this man over this, can you? Can you with a clear conscience?
Yes, sir.
Saying he shouldn't have bothered to fix this?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Why didn't he fix it? He is the boss, isn't he? Is he the boss or not?
Yeah, I believe so.
Then whose fault is this?
You're taking a specific spot and you're using it and you're blowing it out of shape.
A specific spot? Have you seen the pictures of the guys from Walter Reed Army Hospital that we've got 10 times more amputees now than we've ever had in a war before, percentage-wise? Have you seen the pictures of these guys? A specific problem?
Who would have died in previous wars.
My God. How can you say that? How can you say that?
Well, you want to dispute the fact of the medical...
Do you want to dispute the fact that Donald Rumsfeld could have done something about this and didn't?
I don't know.
Do you dispute that?
No, not specifically.
You're a fool if you dispute that, because he admitted it. And the people that run those factories admitted it. And yet you're sitting here saying that's okay?
For you to say that he defended it, saying that we go to war with the troops we've got or whatever, and it's an insult to every soldier.
It is an insult to
them. It's an insult for you to take that approach.
How do you figure it? We've got all these guys being maimed and killed over there with insufficient body armor and Humvees, that something could have been done about it. The people at the factory say that. Rumsfeld has admitted he'd known it 2 years ago. How else should I feel?
Well, I don't.
Whose fault is this?
Could have done better.
He could have done better. My God.
They should have done better. But for you to say that the remark that he made was an insult to every soldier over there is wrong. No one will get the fact.
I'll tell you what. If I'd have been sitting in that room and he said, not the army we wish we had, I'd have stood up and said, well, okay, I guess you don't wish you have me. I'll see ya.
Well, again, you've managed to take it and to take one aspect of it.
Absolutely. Look at these guys who've been being butchered by not having the proper armor, and it is Donald Rumsfeld's fault. There's no place else. Like I said before, when is anybody in this administration ever going to take responsibility for something?
Well, I guess you're probably right.
You're damn right I'm right. They take responsibility for nothing.
If the left had had their way, there would not have been an attack. So they would have all been ahead of the game, and no one would have died.
There wouldn't have been an attack in Iraq. You're damn right there wouldn't have been. There's plenty of proof now that there shouldn't have been.
There wouldn't have
plenty
been
of proof.
The trenches would still be open, being filled by those people. The rape rooms would have still been there.
Oh my God!
As our economy.
Yeah. What are we? We're the big moralists, the big helpers in the world, aren't we? Well, we got millions dying down in Africa and Sudan. What are we doing about that? Huh?
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
We could probably be doing more.
Thanks for your call. Oh, please don't call me today and tell me that this isn't Donald Rumsfeld's fault and we could do better. We could do better. I want to tell you something right now. If I were the Secretary of Defense and I sent 150,000 men and women, America's finest, to fight in a war that, at best, is questionable. And I sent them over there, and their parents and neighbors and friends had to have bake sales to buy them personal body armor. And I sent them over there in Humvees that were paper thin without the right armor on them. And they got blown up by the hundreds. I'd hang my head in shame. I'd resign. I would have to resign because, you see, I've got a heart. I would know when I was wrong. And he was wrong, and George Bush is as wrong as can possibly be for keeping him after this episode. It is a shameful, shameful chapter in American history. Absolutely shameful. I think we're going to pause for a break right now. In just a moment or so. I tell you, this kind of thing gets me going. I've been steamed about it ever since I heard it earlier on this week, and then the right tries to kill the messenger. Did you hear it on Limbaugh the other day? Oh, it was some reporter that put him up to this question. Who the hell cares who put him up to the question? The important point is the question was asked. I don't care who asked it. It was the right question. They always do that, don't they? Same way with the Dan Rather thing. They never answered that question either because they couldn't. And so they're going to try and weasel out of this by saying, oh, no, that reporter put him up to that question. Look over here. Don't look at the real problem. Oh, they're good at it, folks. We're going to be back right after this. You're listening to The Guy James Show.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
The difference between term and permanent life insurance is similar in some respects to the difference between renting and owning a home. Today, insurance advisor Jim Clary explains.
Term insurance is like renting. You pay a premium each year as you get older. That premium gets a little more expensive. Ultimately, at the end of your lifetime, if you held term insurance throughout that period of time, you'd have a pile of canceled checks and nothing to show for it.
What about permanent insurance?
Permanent insurance is like owning the home. It's generally a little more expensive in the beginning, but can be considerably cheaper over the long run because you do build equity in the policy. The premiums are level as opposed to increasing. Thus, in your older years, you can have a policy that may cost you considerably less than what a term insurance policy does.
For more information about the different types of life insurance available, visit life-line.org. This Financial Security News Minute has been brought to you by the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education.
My grandchild was born today, 3 months premature. It wasn't supposed to be like this. My daughter, so worried. My granddaughter, so tiny.
1 in 8 babies is born premature. It's the leading cause of newborn death and many disabilities. Visit marchofdimes.com and see how you can help. Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick.
Who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela.
Angela, who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, back at you. Glad to have you with us here today. You are listening to the Guy James Show from sunny Fort Myers, Florida. And we're glad to have all of our local folks along with us. We're glad to have everybody on the Internet along with us. We're taking your phone calls, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7503, 7504, 479-5540 here locally. And we hope you'll give us a call. Appreciate hearing from you. You know, I disagree vehemently with the last caller, and I guess I show it. I'm not one to take that lightly, and he and I disagree, and that's okay. That's all right. It's okay to disagree, and that's one thing about this program. I'll listen to the other side. I don't have to agree with him, but I'll listen. Try getting on a Rush Limbaugh show that way. And by the way, I do want to tell you the continuing saga. We called O'Reilly's office again this week. Real nice, you know. We played real nice with him and told him how much we'd like to have Bill Riley on our program to explain that little, well, you know, that little several million dollar indiscretion that he had here just a little while back. But, you know, they're just adamant that Bill's not going to talk about it, and they just got downright nasty that I would even ask such a thing. And, you know, I got to thinking, you know, if a guy's a pervert and he's paid somebody off many millions of dollars, why wouldn't he talk about it? I mean, he knows we all know about it. Why doesn't he cleanse his soul and talk about it? I mean, Limbaugh, he cleansed his soul about being a hopeless drug addict, didn't he? And Bill Bennett, he cleansed his soul about being a gambling addict, didn't he? And what was it, Dick Morris? Well, you know about Dick Morris. So I don't understand why Billy Boy won't come out and just be... He's always saying why there's no spin. What has he spun any more than his own personal transgression? I guess he hadn't spun it because he won't talk about it. At first he denied it. I'm going to stand up for what I believe. So anyway, we called his office, and after a few moments they got downright indignant. Just like very, very moralistic. And it's kind of funny. I do have fun with this. I got to tell you, I do. Let's go to Michael in LaBelle. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing?
Speak up if you can, Michael.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a 24-year-old disabled veteran, former Marine, and I would vehemently disagree with that last caller. And you know, I lost a lot of friends in Iraq back in March of 2003, and I feel that this administration, that everyone in it, should be tarred and feathered, and hung out in the streets in humiliation for what they're doing.
Well, I agree with you. I do. As a soldier, you've got to accept your mission and go do it. But your country owes you the best they have, and I don't think we've given it.
I don't think so either. I voted for Kerry and was very disheartened in the election. I don't understand all these calls and, you know, people saying that Kerry didn't vote for the $87 billion to fund our troops and provide armor for them. Well, what is our president doing as a commander-in-chief by sending them to war without the armor they need in the first place?
That's right, and they knew it. They knew it. They knew it all along, and they just didn't get the job done. I'm so sorry that they didn't. Hey, thanks for your call, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you. Good to know we've got folks over in LaBelle listening to the program. For those of you around the country, LaBelle is a town about halfway between here and big old Lake Okeechobee. Did you know we got a huge lake here in Florida? Big lake, by the way. It's called Lake Okeechobee. A lot of fine Indian names around here. Kissimmee and Okeechobee, and then, of course, we've had a great American Seminole Indian tribe heritage here in this area. Very interesting area. I wasn't born and raised here, but I'm trying to learn all I can about it. I've been here, what, 8-9 years or so. Do want to remind everybody, once again, I want to say this several times during the show. Next week will be our last program on this particular station. All of our local people will be off on Christmas and New Year's Day. We're going to come back on January the 8th on Wink WNOG. They're part of this Meridian family here, Fort Myers Broadcasting in Meridian. We're going to come back on Wink WINK 1240. And WNOG 1270. And we'll be on both those stations, and the show will be from 7 to 10 p.m. on Saturday. So it's going to be quite a change for some of you. And if you can't join us at that time, I'm sorry, but we had to make the change. And all the local folks, you can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and visit our website. And if you're ever in a situation where you can't get us on the air, you can go on there and listen to the show live on the computer if you have to. And also, if you don't listen to the program live, you can go to our good friend Ben Birch's website called www.whiterosesociety.org. Whiterosesociety.org, just like it sounds. And he has all of our programs archived on there. You can download them, listen to them anytime you want to. I do that. I listen to Well, he's got Randy Rhoads shows on there, and I love Randy. And I download her show sometime and listen to him when I drive over to Miami on business. Love to do that. So do that. Go to WhiteRoseSociety.org. And by the way, donate a couple of bucks to his site. It costs a lot of money to archive all the programs that he does. And folks, we talk about the shortcomings of liberal radio. And Ben is certainly doing his utmost to help liberal radio come along. Right now we're going to have a gentleman on the program that I've only known through cyber world, I guess I would say. He's a gentleman that had a radio show himself up in Tennessee, has done a whole lot of sacrifice and hard work for the liberal radio cause, and for one reason or another hasn't gotten the support that he needed. Few of us do, and that's what we're going to talk about. Right, I want to talk about a gentleman that started a website and radio program called Democratic Talk Radio. And you can visit his great website. I love his website, democratictalkradio.com. And I'm talking about one of the best radio guys and one of the very best writers you're ever going to find. And I'm talking about a man named Steve Crockett. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am, Scotty.
Glad to have you with us this afternoon.
It's a great pleasure to be on the show.
You're in where in Tennessee?
A little town called Fayetteville, Tennessee. It's right north of Huntsville, Alabama, directly south of Nashville.
Real close to the border, then.
Yeah, about 3 miles from Alabama.
Well, Steve, you and I have been back and forth on the Internet a lot over the last couple of years. And as I recall, we were both guests on a radio show one time together, and I guess that's how I got to know you.
Yeah, through Maria Heller.
I've kept track of your program. I've kept track of your website and even participated in it a little bit. And I do find that you're one terrific writer. I'm surprised. Have you ever tried to get picked up by one of these syndicates?
No. I actually give my column away. I write a column called Democratic Voices.
Well, you should, because you have a great talent for writing.
Well, thank you.
Great talent for writing.
I wish I had the talent in radio that you had, Guy.
Well, hey. Steve and I share this in common. We both started radio programs, and well, we started them for the love and the need of the Democratic Party and the liberal cause to try and level the playing field a little bit. And Steve started out up there, and we started out down here, and we followed kind of similar paths. I know, Steve, you were on how long with your program?
Well, we were on iFinance out of pocket for a little over 3 years.
And people think that's cheap.
We did a little stint with IE America Radio Network before they went under.
Yeah. And they went under because of lack of funds.
Right, exactly.
And there are, I can think of about 8 or 10 very loyal Democratic liberal, although some of them don't call themselves that, broadcasters across the country that struggle all the time. Why do you think it is? Why do you think the liberal radio struggles so much?
I think there are many more than that, actually. I'm actually writing a book on Democratic Talk Radio, not just our program, but actually the entire movement. And by Democratic, I don't just mean what we would traditionally call liberal, but the whole non-corporate world. You know, it's the pro-union, pro-environment, pro-civil rights guys. The movement's actually a little bigger than the word liberal entails, although it includes all of the liberal radio.
Certainly. And why do you think that people in this situation find it so hard to find funding for programs and so forth?
A couple reasons. First of all, the corporate advertising world will not back these kind of shows, although they typically get higher ratings than conservative shows if they're given an equal playing field. They say it's ratings, but you have to realize what the role of corporate radio, the right-wing corporate radio programs are, and that's to give tax cuts to the wealthy, to shift the tax burden from corporations to individuals, primarily to middle-class and working-class folks, to allow them to get away with violating labor laws and environmental laws and campaign finance laws. They can fund it out of their advertising budget versus their political, without no political restrictions.
Steve, could I get you to speak up just a little?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that. An awful lot of it is actually just ways that the corporate American can
Well, that doesn't excuse the fact that here we have, I know we've got all the finance laws and all that, but we've got a Democratic Party, for instance, awash with money this year.
Right.
The candidates certainly had all, and I believe is the first time we've ever outspent the Republicans.
I don't know that we really did outspend them, but we probably came fairly close to it.
So at least McAuliffe is bragging that we
the parties did.
Yeah.
But there was also a lot of 527 money. In the long run, especially at the end, the Republican, the corporate 527s outspent the Democratic ones.
So we've got...
They were very helpful.
Well, yeah, and we've got organizations like MoveOn.org that gathered and spent a ton of money this year, and I think they were effective.
Right.
But why is it that people will donate to a cause with MoveOn.org because they're going to turn right around and put it into something like we do,
sure,
with ads, but yet they will not...
Well, it's a complicated reason, set of circumstances. I just had mentioned why that we didn't get funding out of the corporate world. But I think part of the thing is that the Democratic Party and liberals as a rule have a bias against talk radio because the right wing grew from that movement and they looked down on them. Second of all, I think they're just kind of trapped in the mindset of what we've always done that kind of worked. They don't get it that money spent on financing a long-term talk radio program like yours helps people develop a worldview and not just drive a candidate at election time. The money spent has a much higher return. It'll bring votes in election after election after election. And that's what they don't get. They don't get that. And that's one of the reasons I'm writing the book about them. Writing about the internet activism and the rise of talk radio since 2000 on our side. Because if these people could understand that, they get far more bang for their buck in campaign finance money, affecting the political agenda, if they put the money behind you than if they buy a 30-second commercial on a television station.
Well, I know you when you were doing your radio program, and I believe me, I know exactly how it is with your funding and so forth. I know you... You worked very hard at getting funding, didn't you? Did you
yes,
not?
And I didn't get any, hardly.
I knew that, but our listeners didn't. You spent tons of money out of your pocket.
As a working class guy, about $35,000 my own money, plus 40 hours a week for 4 years.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the reason I had you on the program today. I want people to understand that people like Steve, and I can think of... Steve, do you know Doug Basham out in Las Vegas?
I know him.
I know Doug. He's a good guy. He works hard. He's got a Monday through Friday show, but he's not getting rich. You didn't take any salary. I don't take any salary. And I know a couple of other folks as well. I know them pretty well that do what we do.
All over the country. Mike Ward in Louisville, Kentucky.
Exactly.
Jerry Pippin in Oklahoma. Andy Johnson in North Florida.
And I think people sometimes think that we're awash with money.
We do this because we love the country. We love what America stands for.
What were your
We're the true patriots. We're doing this, I really think that the struggle we're in mirrors very much the American Revolution. The rich and powerful against the average working class guy. And, you and I are part of the Sons of Liberty.
Well, I don't know what were your circumstances when you started your program? How did you start yours?
I was sitting there with my co-host, Al Lawrence, who is program director for a small AM station, watching the recount process as it goes on. And when the night that the Bush versus Gore ruling was handed down and they stopped the vote recount, I asked him, we got talking about the role talk radio played in this and how they helped drum up the sore loser men and help mobilize the little mob that stopped the vote recount in Miami and Dade. And we just had to do something about it. And I asked him if the owner of the station would allow us to go on and present a talk radio program on the other side. He said no. I said, could we buy the time? He said, yes, I'm sure we could buy the time. So I wrote him a check. We're on the air.
Wow. Our story's kind of similar. My best friend and I were sitting around crying in our beer, well, not actually beer, morning coffee, after the midterms, the last midterms, and gee whiz, what can we do? He says, well, hey, you've done radio. Let's get a radio show together. And I thought, yeah, right, around here. And so, but we did.
Yeah.
And we've somehow struggled and stayed on the air all this time, and we've grown and grown and grown, and they're going to grow a little more here starting in January. But it's a fight, and it's is your area heavily Republican?
Oh, extremely so.
Wow.
I'm actually moving to a heavily Republican section of Maryland.
Are you?
My co-host is going to stay in Tennessee. We're still going to try to put a program back together.
I hope you do. I hope you do.
We're working very hard on a book that I'm calling Fighting the Corporate Monster, Democratic Talk Radio and Internet Activism Since 2000. We're going to highlight 100 other talk radio shows and then do a page or a page and a half on each and tell you what we think of you, Guy James. You're page number one in that section.
Hey. But we love that. I respect you so much, and Al, just for doing. I can associate myself with what you do, and you know you remember that old song? I am the morning the country DJ. It's kind of what we've done. We've started at the bottom with this, and tried to grow and sacrificed and do it for the love of it, and the love of the country, and the love of the party, and you hear from. You hear from people from the right that don't appreciate what you do, and I guess they want it all. Did you get calls like that, too?
Yeah, and much worse. I got targeted by Neil Bortz and FreeRepublic.com very early back in July of 2001, and I got over 10,000 pieces of hate email 1 week.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's more than I got. I
got an anthrax hoax letter sent to me that I actually believe came from the guy that actually sent the anthrax attacks later.
Isn't it sad?
Postmarked from Newark, New Jersey, on a photocopy of a New York Post article where Clinton fired missiles at Afghanistan and Sudan. And powder fell out on the desk, but I don't think it was really anthrax.
Well, you're still with us.
Yeah.
I receive a lot of hate mail as well, and it never fails to amaze me. We did a little segment on the show for a while, and we'll bring it back again soon, called A Few Minutes of Republican Love, where we read our hate mail.
I really enjoy getting that, because that's when I know I'm fighting the good cause. It really reveals who the other guys are, and nothing fires me up as much as getting hate mail from these.
Absolutely. I got some this morning, as a matter of fact, but it fascinates me that they're not content with 99% of the radio time.
No.
They want 100%.
Oh, yeah. They tried to organize advertising boycotts and all kinds of things. We had a difficult time staying on the air.
Yeah. Well, it makes it tough. Steve, I want to, before you go, I want you to tell us about the book. I want you to let me know, and I should have asked you this ahead of time. Is there some way all of our listeners can get your column?
Folks, you've
got to get Steve's column. They're the best written columns you're going to read anywhere. I guarantee that.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I do.
Well, I appreciate that. I know many other great writers, Greg Palast and William Rivers Penn.
I know that, but, you know, there never is a time. I had a minister like this once, and I just described to you. I used to listen to this minister on Sundays, and there never was a time that he wouldn't say something during his sermon that I would go, wow, I never thought of that before. Have kind of a little epiphany right there, and your writing does the same thing to me.
Oh, thank you. If they want to read my columns, we have almost all the old ones archived on democratictalkradio.com. You can go to the articles and columns pages. It's there. If anybody who actually wants to get on the list, they are welcome to just shoot me an email from the website to me personally, and I will put them, they'll get them as soon as they come out.
Well, I highly recommend that. I do really love your writing.
I really want to encourage the local community there to really get behind you. You're a great voice. We really need you. And they don't know how lucky they are, because almost nowhere else in the country do they get the kind of quality radio that they're getting from the Guy James Show.
Steve, thank you so much. Again, folks, everybody that's, and you can keep track of the progress of his book on there, I'm sure. And they've got a great forum going on there as well. It's www.democratictalkradio.com. Right, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much for being with us.
It's been a pleasure, James.
Great to hear from you.
Bye.
I tell you what. Now, there I go. That's that old redneck saying, isn't it? A declarative statement. I'll tell you what. Really and truly, Steve is one great individual. He's done so much in the quest to level the playing field with talk radio. He's worked so hard at it and so dedicated at it. And really, please do go to democratictalkradio.com and read his columns. They're fabulous. They really are. Where are we at here today? I do want to remind everybody, just like Steve and I were talking about, this is a donator, you know, it's a donation-supported program. That's how we live. That's how we get the airtime. That's how we stay on the air. Those are the only expenses we have, the streaming bill, the phone bill, and the airtime bill. We don't have any salary for the host. We don't have any leased automobiles. We don't have anything. And that's why we depend upon you. And I'm so happy and so grateful to those of you who have contributed to this program and helped us grow and stay on the air. You know, it wasn't that long ago. About 2 years ago, to tell you the truth, we went on the air 2 years ago. Last week was our anniversary. And so we are now starting our third year. And it was not long after we started, a week, and then 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks after, every week, the local Republicans, the local conservatives, swore to us that they would get us off the air by any means necessary. I heard that. If I heard it once, I heard it 100 times, and they meant it. And they've tried, and they've worked at it, but it hasn't worked, and we're still here. And I guess we are a fly in the ointment of some kind. They hate the fact that there's somebody on the air talking about something other than right-wing, flaming right-wingers talking about conservative values and all that sort of thing. We try and bring you the truth every week. We're terribly concerned about bringing you the truth and nothing but the truth every single week. We always challenge people. If they call and say we've lied, they send us emails, say, I listen to your program, it's nothing but lies. But, you know, when you ask them to explain that, they never do. Never do. So we deal in truth on this program. We will always deal with truth on this program. We have great plans to bring up some very interesting subjects in the future. We depend on you for ideas for that as well. We will be talking about politics primarily. We will be talking about the good earth and her environment. But we'll stick to those things, and we'll educate people. That's what this show is all about, education. And I think if more people would have been educated during this last election, there would have been a different, very different outcome. You can donate to the program by going to www.theguyjamesshow.com. That's www.theguyjamesshow.com. And there's a place on there you can send a single donation, or you can kind of join our club. And, yeah, we're currently thinking about what we're going to call our club. We're going to have a Guy James Show club of some kind, and you can donate monthly. And there's a place right on there where you can do that now. But we're going to work on that. I'm not a great idea guy when it comes to that. I got a couple other people working on that. If you've got some ideas along that, send us an email. I'll be glad to hear from you. I'm just the mouthpiece on here. I don't do the heavy thinking. But www.theguyjamesshow.com for those of you listening here locally. You can donate the program on there. We sure appreciate it if you do. We're getting bigger, we're getting louder and stronger, and it's because of you, and we appreciate your donations, and we hope you'll continue, and we hope to gather some new folks on there as well. We've got an awful lot coming up on this program today. All of you, our lines are all full, and I'm going to ask all you folks to kind of hang with us till right after the news. We will be with you, and by the way, I hope if you're on the phone right now, you're doing it on our nickel, so it won't hurt you, okay? Just hang on. We'll be back right after the news. You are listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news.
The Guy James Show. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Fit for Duty. The President has his annual physical. I'm Joan Bennett. A team of doctors examined President Bush today at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. As expected, he was found to be in excellent health. Though, says ABC's Barbara Britt,
President Bush may be fit for duty, but like many Americans,
I'm a little overweight.
The Commander-in-Chief admits,
I've obviously gone through a campaign where I probably ate too many donuts. If you get my drift.
The president says his New Year's resolution is now clear.
Therefore, fully intend to lose some inches off my waistline and some pounds off my frame.
You're not alone, Mr. President. Barbara Britt, ABC News, Washington.
Apologies from the man who would have been the next Homeland Security chief, former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik, who withdrew his name last night, citing possible tax problems with a nanny.
I owe an enormous apology to the president. And his staff for causing whatever distraction this may cause.
ABC News has learned that NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe will be stepping down. He's come under fire for his handling of the shuttle disaster 2 years ago. But ABC's Gina Treadgold in Houston says,
I think Mr. O'Keefe will be remembered as the administrator who worked to get the Moon-Mars vision pushed through that President Bush announced this past year.
Nearly 2,000 people attended a service at Westminster Cathedral today in London for Margaret Hassan, who lived and worked in Iraq for 30 years before she was abducted by militants in October and believed killed a month later. Her body hasn't been found.
We gather to offer this mass for the repose of the soul of Margaret Hassan.
Hassan was the Iraqi director of CARE International. In Atlanta, a church group led a march near the tomb of Martin Luther King Jr. today to promote, among other things, a national ban on gay marriage. This is ABC News.
There's only one name left on our list. Sadie. What are we going to get Sadie?
Well, she seems to love that sweater her folks got her last year.
Maybe a bed.
Oh, isn't that a little personal?
How about a gift card?
Great idea.
Boy, she's one lucky puppy.
Need the perfect gift for a pet on your list who seems to have everything? For all those four-legged friends and their parents, fetch a PetSmart gift card and get a matching squeaky dog toy for only $4.99 with any gift card purchase while supplies last. Season's greetings from PetSmart.
The holidays can be stressful, and all that stress can cause you to grind your teeth at night. So give someone you love the Doctor's Night Guard. It's the dental protector you wear at night to cushion your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew, finally. Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard in the oral care section.
Okay, everybody, let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? We'll start with Trenise from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Wait, hold on. I didn't say I wanted to volunteer.
Ah, but you will, Trenise, because we know how much you can't stand your little brother.
That's true.
So, we're giving you a little sister.
Oh, what?
And here's your bratty little brother to tell you more.
You know you always wanted a little sister instead of me?
Yeah.
Well, you can get a little sister when you volunteer in the Big Brother Big Sister program down at the community center.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, you two can go shopping together, see movies.
And stay far away from me.
You said that right.
Word.
But I like the little sister thing.
To find more mentoring programs and other ways to volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org. And join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk. But a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
In Sweetwater, a college student teaches swimming at the Y.
In Woodsboro, an iron worker builds a home with Habitat for Humanity.
In Detroit, a dental hygienist helps clean up a state park.
In Seattle, a commercial fisherman joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told?
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon, Guy James fans. I don't want to call you fans. That was wrong. Good listeners, I'm so glad to have you along with us. You make the show worthwhile. You know the show is about you. We like to get on and talk about the things we want to talk about, but it's also important to hear from you. You're the heart and soul of the party, and we care about what you have to say, and we care about the others of you that don't belong to the party and who are not liberal activists. We care about you as well, so we can take the pulse of America. But you know, I started out by saying I was so upset over this Rumsfeld this week, and I am. I really am. And the more I think about it, and I'll get back to the phones just in just a moment. Let me give those phone numbers just for a moment. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7503, 7504, and 479-5540 here locally. Okay? You've got four toll-free numbers you can call today. One of them's out of order. And I'm going to have to ask Biz once again which one of those for sure is out of order. I think it's number three. Anyway, call us. We're glad to hear from you. And I'm going to get back to the phones in just a brief moment. But I was thinking during the break about this. I'm trying to blame all this on Rumsfeld and Bush. And don't get me wrong, that's where the buck lands. But I wonder how many of you that voted for George Bush because you think he's doing a good job running the war and fighting terrorism. You know, I heard about this morality thing and all that. But as it turns out, the polls are showing that it was the war and fighting terrorism that really got him elected. I wonder if you don't feel a little bit dirty, those of you that voted for him. I just wonder if you don't feel a little bit dirty now after the revelations this week that our soldiers are not as protected as they should be. You know, I hate to belabor the point, but somebody's got to. When does anybody in this administration ever take responsibility for the many, many grievous errors they've made concerning this war? I want somebody to tell me one time where any of these guys said, oh, hey, it's my fault, I screwed up, I'm sorry. You know, you who have been driving around with those support our troop ribbons on your cars that voted for Bush, if you really do support our troops, why don't you show your outrage at this debacle brought on by a lack of caring from Donald Rumsfeld? And how can you support a president who would stand for our troops to be treated in this shabby, shabby manner? How can you support a president who doesn't immediately fire Donald Rumsfeld for this shameful, disgusting episode in American military history? You know, look what we found out this week about this mess. We found out that the companies building the Humvees and the armor haven't been working at full capacity because they weren't asked to by Donald Rumsfeld. Does that not tell you all you need to know about the man himself? Does that not point out the unforgivable lack of concern on the part of the President, the Vice President, and the Secretary of Defense? Support our troops? How can you drive around with that on your car but still cast a vote for a man who has known about our troops getting blown to bits for a couple of years now but has not done his utmost to protect them? How hypocritical of you. How can you on the one hand pretend to support the troops, but on the other hand support the men who are responsible for getting more and more of them killed than absolutely necessary? What does that make you? How can you support a man who you say is moral because he prays and goes to church, but doesn't give his all to save the lives of hundreds of our soldiers by making sure the Secretary of Defense is properly doing his job? How can you cast a vote for a man who says he sleeps very well at night, while a couple of miles down the road there exist hundreds of young soldiers at Walter Reed Hospital who are laying awake at night wondering how their lives will be forever changed because of having their arms and legs blown off needlessly because some bureaucrat named Donald Rumsfeld hasn't cared enough to do his job? You trusted George W. Bush to pick the right people to run this war. You trusted him to get it right. You trusted him to take all possible care of our young men and women fighting in that country of death and destruction. Where is your outrage over this? Where? If you really care about the troops, let me hear your outrage. Let me hear that some conservative voters marched on the Pentagon in the White House demanding answers for this. The parents of some of these soldiers that voted for Bush, but there's silence. Why? How can you be silent about this? Oh no, instead of showing your concern for our young men and women, you show your blind allegiance to a man who isn't worthy of holding the office. You are protecting him instead of those who really need your help. Why? Tell me why it's okay in your eyes for Bush and Rumsfeld to have let this happen. I really want to hear how the hell you can possibly rationalize this one. You know, you follow a red herring planted by the right-wing media, which says a reporter coaxed that young soldier to ask the question of Rumsfeld. You make a big deal out of that. So what? Who cares who asked the question? The question had to be asked, or would you prefer that it be kept under wraps? So Rumsfeld and Bush are protected while more and more brave young men and women are maimed and killed. You know, Limbaugh and Hannity made a big story this week. Are you so blind and ignorant that you can't see why they're doing that? Are you so completely under the spell of the right-wing media that you swallow that one? God help you if you are, but most of all, God help our young men and women, many of whom will not come home because of Bush being tolerant of Rumsfeld, who obviously is not up to the job. And if you continue to support these men's action, you are just as guilty as they are. You have the blood of our soldiers on your hands, too. And shame on you. Shame on all of you who don't speak out about this. This latest dishonorable, disgraceful chapter in George Bush's big book of unforgivable sins. I'm disappointed in them, but I'm disappointed in you, the conservative voters that voted for him, for not speaking out about this. How could you? How could you remain silent on this issue? It's shameful. Well, enough of what I have to say. Let's talk to the New York Bureau. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guy. You're on a roll today.
Well, Jeff, does this bother you? I mean, I've been just crazy over this week.
Oh, it bothers me enormously, picking up on that and something you said about if you knew when you voted, would you have voted? You have to remember that the entire Bush team hammered and hammered and hammered. 87 billion voted against armor. 87 billion voted against armor. And now the truth is, we didn't even try.
No.
We didn't even try to get as much as possible there. And now this is the United States government. If they want to mobilize the country to produce
almost overnight.
It can be done. I mean, do you think, look at what they're having no trouble spending and organizing to protect the little man on his inauguration. Troops from, pretty much around the entire country coming in to make sure that no one with an A gets near the limousine this year. That they can mobilize. But they don't, they just don't care. It's like, they just don't care.
You know, Jeff, I agree. And the fact that we've got ideological differences with them, that's one thing. But man, when they allow soldiers to be killed because of not having the right equipment, that's a whole nother ball game right there.
Well, the entire bargain invasion plan, that we don't need that many troops. Oh, they can be lightly armored. Oh, they're just going to be picking up the flowers anyway. What, helmets, bullets? Who needs it? And yet. Apparently, if we believe them, it's like we have to believe the exit polls about the moral values, but we can't believe the exit polls about the numbers for the candidates. Is that the current line, as I understand it?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm really fascinated by this. I sit down and I see these things, Jeff, and I research them as much as I can so I have all the facts, and then I sit back and think, oh, okay. There's going to be a huge outcry over this. No. It didn't happen.
No, there's an outcry over the outcry.
Yeah.
Oh, how dare you criticize Rumsfeld. He's,
I know.
He must be a good Christian.
Yeah, I don't know anything about his religiosity. I've never heard him say. But I know about his ethics and his morals. That's obvious for everybody to see.
It's a sickening spectacle.
Well, Jeff, we want to officially alert the New York Bureau that the time for the show is going to be changing on January the 8th from 7 to 10 p.m. So for all of the Internet folks, that's all you have to do. You just have to listen at a different time. For all the local folks, you're going to have to turn your dial to a couple of different new radio stations, 1240 or 1270 a.m. here in the Southwest Florida area. So you are hereby officially apprised of the change coming up January the 8th.
Since I have no life, I'll probably be here anyway.
Well, I do want you to alert the entire staff of the New York Bureau.
Oh, I will take care of it.
Pass it down through channels all the way down to the mailroom. Jeff, thanks so much.
What I could do with that line, but I won't.
I wouldn't trust you to do it. Jeff, thanks so much for calling in today.
You're welcome. Support Guy James, people. Good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's see who we're going to go to. We're going to go up to Alice in Humboldt County. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Nice to have you.
Really enjoyed that, your anger. That's just the way I feel.
Well, it's
and I'm 90 years old.
Are you?
Yeah, that takes a little doing.
That's right. It's hard. After 90 years, you've just about seen it all.
Oh, this is the worst I've ever seen. I've been through all these different wars and... But this is the worst one. I believe there is no good reason for us being in Iraq. I never did.
No.
Our White House allowed or perhaps caused 9/11 to happen. They made a lot of people believe that Iraq had something to do with that day, but they had nothing. It's all about oil profits for Bush, Cheney, Halliburton, and of course, they don't care about our soldiers. And I'm so glad that soldier stood up and talked to Rumsfeld.
Oh, I am too.
I'm real proud of him.
I think the kid had a lot of guts. But then again, I think saying it on national TV and so forth, he probably knew that they wouldn't dare do anything to him.
Well, no. He had a lot of protection.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
And you could tell from the rest of the guys there that started cheering when he said that they
sure.
Felt it too.
Yeah, well, they've been so neglected, it's terrible.
They have.
Then they talk about it maybe lasting 10 years.
I know.
Oh,
it just keeps getting longer and longer. Now they're talking about a pullout in maybe 2006. They're saying they keep just pushing on a little longer. But this army that they're supposed to be getting ready is a joke over there.
Yeah.
It's a joke. They're ill trained, ill equipped, and they're defecting as bad as fast as they're getting in. They're leaving. So
yeah,
I think
people
they're ready
going
for,
to Canada.
Yeah, we're there for well, those Iraqis. I don't know where they're going.
But I don't either.
We're in for the long haul. Alice, thanks for your call.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thanks for calling, thanks for listening to the program. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's go up to our old friend Scotch in Port Charlotte. Hi, Scotch.
How are you? Now, it's not Port Charlotte. It's Punta Gorda.
Oh, Punta Gorda. Okay.
Now, it's no big deal. I'm only teasing you about that. Hey, I happened to run across in my notes, and I'm really sorry I didn't put the date down, but an old quotation of George Bernard Shaw. And I got to thinking, you know, I agree with you about Rumsfeld and all of this. But what I'd like to hear more of on your show is how, you know, I got this because of George Bernard Shaw, what we would do with the more liberal people in the White House, you know, from your standpoint, what you think would happen, how it would improve our civilization as opposed, you know, not necessarily on the war, because that's kind of the aside right now, but what about the future with a more liberal outlook on it? I'd just like to hear, you know, this is what would happen. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I do understand what you mean. It's
it's kind of like a salesman. They don't really attack their competitors. They tell the customer just how good things are going to be if they use the salesman's product.
That's right.
You know, they sell the sizzle, not the steak, as they say.
Well, I think true liberalism is the understanding that, well, I'll mention some of the things that I think that we should do and we have done as liberals and Democrats. Number one, to try and bring prosperity to as much of the populace as possible, not just the select few. We try and coordinate the infrastructure of a city, a society, out of the community treasury so that rich and poor alike are protected from, you know, misery and plague and all that. We try and invest in the future of the community and our country as a whole. We try to perhaps bind the powerful to the rule of law, just as the common man is, and thus prevent successful, you know, villainy from taking over. We try to educate, feed, and house the children, of course. We always try and take care of the children. We try not to leave the old folks on ice floes heading out to sea.
Okay, well, he kind of stated it a little bit different. He said that I was the first liberal to state this explicitly as a necessary postulate of a permanent civilization. And he said under liberalism, you wouldn't be allowed to be poor. You would be fed, clothed, lodged, educated, and employed. You know, do you go along with that?
Well, I don't know about the allowed thing to be poor. I mean, everybody's got to... You know, I believe in protecting... I don't believe in protecting someone who doesn't give a damn, who doesn't give an effort. I don't believe in that. I do believe if you've got a guy like that, I do believe in helping take care of his children because he won't. I believe there are plenty of people that slip through the cracks that, for one reason or another, they don't have the mental capacity to get by. They don't have the physical capacity to get by. I respect the honest labor of ordinary working people. I think we've lost our respect for that. I think the big thing is to try and help everyone become productive members of society instead of just taking advantage. I don't agree with all the excesses that took place in the Great Society years of Lyndon Johnson. Certainly not. There were excesses there that were totally out of line. And it's a good thing that they've been reined in. And we needed, frankly, we needed the conservatives to come over and say, hey, wait a minute, you're going too far. And so we've pulled it back. And I know you being somewhat of a libertarian, it'll never be pulled back to where you think it should be.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but just what was it they pulled back? I never have seen anything that we didn't pull back. We may not have let it increase.
No, there's not near the money spent on welfare that there used to be. Not near. You don't hear of this this, well, some of it was phony in the first place. Some
well, of course.
Some of this, but there's not near the money spent on that anymore, on social programs, some of the social programs that there used to be. And rightly so.
Oh, wait a minute. The percentage is still as great. The percentage of our production that goes to welfare is still
of our
great.
Of our budget, of our governmental budget, the percentage is still the same?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm not sure it's not even more now. I'll have to look that up.
Well,
that'll
we,
be something
we will,
to look up you, until you get back on the air again.
You'd certainly have one on me if that were true, because last I saw that it had been dropping considerably. And I, you know, I believe in training people to take care of themselves. I don't believe in a just a handout for somebody who is productive.
Even George Bernard Shaw said that if it were discovered that you didn't have the character of the industry enough to be worth all the trouble, you might possibly be executed in a kindly manner, of course. Yeah, that's what he said. But while you were permitted to live, you would live well.
Well,
and
I don't agree with George on everything, I think.
But I kind of wish we could hear, you know, just a little bit more about how you could do it and where it would come from and where the money would come from and everything. And don't feel bad. I meant to tell you this when I heard you say this. Don't feel bad because the Republicans said they would get you off the air. You know, I'm a real conservative, right wing, and the American Legion would not let me speak to them because I was too controversial.
Wow.
So there's a conservative outfit, or some people think is. And that came from headquarters in Florida, not from the local ones.
Well, you rabble rousers now.
Yeah. anyway, I appreciate you letting me talk.
Thanks for your call.
And I would appreciate, you know, a little bit more of how you would do it, you know, what you would do.
Well, you see, I could bring in the big boys like Senator Carl Levin and people like that and have them explain the whole budgetary thing to you and all, but I think a lot of people would do a little snoozing on that.
Well, if you get to talking about budgets, yes. But I would think that issues, at least, and not particularly figures so much, but just how you would go about doing it. And it looks to me like the only thing you can do, no matter if you're on that side or the conservative side, the only way you can get your program on is with force. And
well,
force is tyranny.
Well, we take your point, Scotch. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's head on over to Diane in North Fort Myers.
Yeah, hi.
Welcome.
Good show today, as always. But I was calling because the first caller today was that, or I think it was might have been the second one, Steve from Punta Gorda, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talking about Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah, good old Donnie boy.
I love, thank you. Thank you, because you hit it right on the head. I'll tell you this. Why isn't this guy over in Iraq fighting the war if he believes in it so much? Why do these right-wingers sit around in their cozy little domains and call radio shows and talk about how, yeah, the Iraq war is great and we should be over there and supporting all this, and yet they're never the ones over there fighting the war?
You know, Diane, thank you for bringing that up, because that reminds me of something that happened to me on, I'm trying to think what day of the week, Tuesday or Wednesday this week. I met Mr. Tough Republican Guy himself this week. He's wearing fatigues and boots and some T-shirt that says something on it. Anyway, we got to talking about politics, and he's a real George Bush fan, and he's really gung-ho on the war. I mean, really gung-ho in the war.
Well, isn't he over there, then?
That's exactly what I asked him. I said, what are you, about 25, 26 years old? He said, yeah. Why?
I asked Jim Watkins a long time ago. You know, he never did really give me a good explanation.
You know, if you feel strongly enough about it, go for it.
That's right. There's no excuse. If you're alive, you're a war body. They want you right now.
That's
because
for sure.
They are really short.
They are. They are, in fact. They are, in fact. So, that guy finally ended up telling me it was none of my business.
Yeah. Well, I wish you'd bring it on the radio more often, ask them why they're calling on a phone instead of being over in Iraq defending all this.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Standing up for what they really believe in.
Yep.
Hey, Guy, Merry Christmas.
Thank you for your
call. Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Al in Northport. Hi, Al.
Hey, Guy, how you doing? I love your show, man. I listen to it when I can.
I'm barely hearing you, Al.
I'm on my cell phone in my truck.
You're fading out real bad on me.
Can you hear me?
No, hardly at all. I'm sorry. I'll try calling back on one of our other lines. Maybe that's it. Okay.
Okay. All right.
There's one of them open right now. Try it again. Sorry about that. I can barely hear Al. Let's go over to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I was going to call on one thing. I just wanted to ask a quick question.
Yeah.
I see on all the cars and trucks, ribbons say support the troops.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
It means I am taking care of my responsibility by putting this ribbon on my car.
But don't put armor or give them armor or anything else, and our government doesn't have to protect
them. I just want you all to know, that's what you're saying, I just want you all to know that I'm a good American, I'm a loyal American, I love my troops and all because I've got this ribbon on my car.
Oh, okay. I have another question. Can I introduce a little different topic?
Yeah.
Homeland Security. Mr. Bernard Kerik, who was former police commissioner of New York.
What a guy.
And he was supposed to be the head of Homeland Security. And then because of some boo-boos on his record, he's hiring people he shouldn't and who knows what else, he suddenly said, I have to decline this position.
Yeah, what a shame.
Well, I have another question for you, if I might. I want to stir up something else, if I can. If this is Homeland Security, and we're appointing the person in charge, there's a term that they use, I believe, in these various security positions, called vetting somebody. You know what I mean by that?
Most certainly.
Wouldn't you think before they nominate somebody, they would have checked out that person's record to see that they're clean?
That's how it goes. I will tell you that I don't know if I've ever said this on the air or not, but my cousin was treasurer of the United States for 8 years under the Clinton administration, and the vetting process took in the entire family, the FBI, all those people called us. Her friends, her neighbors, called everybody in vetting her.
Well, here's my question, Guy. If there isn't a position that is more, vulnerable, more, open to question, would be the person who's in charge of this whole situation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This guy is a czar, whoever this is going to be. Mm-hmm. There should be nobody more thoroughly vetted than this guy.
Wouldn't you want that person to be squeaky clean?
Oh, yeah. And this Bernard Kerik, I mean, I don't know how much you've researched him, but, his relationship to the stun gun manufacturers and just everything that the guy has done. I mean, bad news.
Well, then here's my question to you. Wouldn't you think that our esteemed president of the United States, Mr. George W. Bush, would have done a much more careful job before he nominated somebody to this position?
Well, one would hope.
And doesn't that begin, if we're supposed to be safer in security, and he's nominating somebody that has to decline the position even before they're fully nominated, doesn't that begin to scare you a little bit?
Well, it scares me taking another step farther. This guy's going to be nominating somebody for the Supreme Court before long. Ooh, man.
I understand that, but I'm coming back to the security issue. Because Bush, as I understand it, one of the things that people voted for him, and maybe I'm wrong, and check me if I'm wrong, was because people said we will be more secure with Bush than we would be with Kerry.
Exactly right.
So if Bush is nominating somebody on the basis of Homeland Security, you want to be sure you've got the best person in this country. Yeah. And obviously, Mr. Kerik, by the results of his actions and what's happened, was not the best in this country and certainly wasn't vetted properly.
Well,
that scary?
That was most certainly a campaign debt being paid to Rudy Giuliani. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, if we're doing that with security, what are we doing with everything else? I mean, you're talking about Rumsfeld and the whole issue of the troops. Here we are talking about the issue of security of this country, and we're playing politics with that?
It shows you the utter carelessness in this administration.
I mean, one of the things I think the Democrats have to do, and the opposition, and the people have to do, is begin to, keep a record of what this administration is doing, that they are not delivering on their promises, that they are not delivering on what they have carried out to do, and that tend to, you know, get people in office who are going to keep their nose to the grindstone because something is terribly wrong here.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, thanks for your call, John.
Anyway, I just thought I'd point it out, and I knew it was a little off your topic.
We've talked about that today, and we're probably going to end up talking about it some more. I predicted last week this guy wouldn't make it through the vetting process. And believe me, I think this deal with the nanny and all, that's probably the least of the reasons that he had to pull out. And thanks for your call, John.
Take care.
Let's head on over to David Naples. Hello, David.
Hello, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
I hear a lot of Democrats saying, well, since this is a Republican war, that why aren't they the ones over there fighting?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of Republicans over there fighting.
Well, the majority of the soldiers that voted for George Bush, and they're the ones that are experiencing it.
Why would you expect any less than that?
Well, so what's the persuasions of these discussions that say, well, if it's a, you know, since it's a Republican war, why aren't they out there? And when you talk to a person that's in BDUs and saying, how old are you? 25. Why aren't you out there? Well, it's very simple. Were you in the Vietnam War?
No.
Okay. So it's something where you have the audacity to go to a young person who has a belief and support for his people that are
you're completely missing the point. Of course the soldiers are mostly Republicans. They're young. They're over there. They all join this service.
And then they find out that their commander in chief
and their secretary of defense is not supporting them the way they are.
Not supporting them.
No.
Okay. So who is the one that made a public statement that he actually voted against $87 billion as a demonstrative vote?
Has the $87 billion been spent or not?
Actually, it hasn't.
Well, you obviously haven't heard what went on this week. Donald Rumsfeld said it wasn't the money. That's a quote right from out of his mouth.
Absolutely, but the point
is, it's not the money. So if it's not the money, what is it? What is it if it's not the money?
As far as getting the armament there?
Yeah.
It's associated to productivity. Do you have different equations associated with
No. Let's not go to any double talk here. We have a need in the field. We have a need for armor. We have a need for the armored, for the personal armor and for the armor for Humvees. We have a need for that. We've known about it for 2 years. Rumsfeld admits he's known about it for 2 years. We remember a couple of years ago when this came to the fore, and he's done nothing about it.
You know what the general production is of the Humvee armored vehicle and the ballistic test that goes through it?
I heard.
You think they can just make 10,000 Humvees?
No, I'm not talking 10,000 Humvees. I heard an interview with the manager of the factory that builds the damn things, saying he could have built more all along. How do you argue with that? I heard the manager of the factory that makes the personal body armor.
So you hear, are
they lying? Wait a minute. Are the managers of those factories that produce that stuff lying to us? Answer the question.
If they're making that assumption, I would say
they're not making an assumption. The manager of the personal armor factory and the manager of the guy doing building the Humvees have both said they've had extra production facilities that have not been used because Rumsfeld and the Department of Defense did not ask them to. You can't argue with that. There's no argument to that.
Associated to what?
Dave, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. You're just an idiot. We have a need. We need armored Humvees. We have a need for personal body armor. Two needs. We have the money. The Secretary of Defense said it's not the money. We have a factory that makes the Humvees. We have a factory that makes the personal body armor. Both of them not running to capacity. Can you not be a three-year-old and understand that? That something is wrong? How old do you have to be? How smart do you have to be to understand that the need was not taken care of? We had the money, we had the production facilities, and we had Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of Defense, and the problem wasn't taken care of. Please, please don't insult us with that kind of talk. That's just so ridiculous. Let's go to Al Northport.
Hi, guys. Guy.
Hi, Al.
Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay, cool.
You're going to have to speak up the whole time, though.
I'm going to yell really loud.
Okay.
It'd be really good because I'm really PO'd. I don't really know where to start. I was watching C-SPAN this morning, and they had Danny Schechter and Brett Bozell on debating the problem with the armored vehicles in Iraq, and Brett Bozell basically was saying that this is just brought up by the liberal, quote-unquote, liberal media. It's not really a problem. It's just being brought out by the, quote-unquote, liberal media that we don't have these armored vehicles there. Danny Schechter pointed out that all the media backed this invasion of Iraq, and they basically went along with the administration line that, you know, we have to go over there because if we don't do that, we're going to have a mushroom cloud over New York City. It's going to be another 9/11 and blah, blah, blah. And, now it's really kind of sickening to me. I grew up, I was born in the 50s, grew up in the 60s. I was there in Miami Beach in 1972 when they had the Republican National Convention, and the police blocked the streets off so that we couldn't go off and protest in front of the convention hall. They kept us away from there. You know, nowadays you have a small caged area to go and protest.
Sure.
In the last Republican convention, it was underneath some abandoned subway track.
Sure.
With barbed wire on the top. That's free speech. That's really great, you know. Even in, like, in the Soviet Union, I don't think they had that kind of situation.
Nope.
This situation with the armored vehicles, these people have been planning this invasion of Iraq since January of 2001.
Exactly.
Way before 9/11. You know, hey, let's think about it. Why don't we have some armored columns to transport this fuel? I really get so aggravated that we have a president who deserted from the National Guard. We have a vice president who was too busy. He had other things to do. That's why he got 5 deferrals during Vietnam. Anybody of my age knows that when you joined the National Guard during the Vietnam War, you were dodging the draft. You were doing whatever you could to get to keep from being sent over there to Vietnam. My wife passed away in September. Her first husband was killed in Vietnam in 1969. He volunteered. He was a sharpshooter. He went over there. He was there for about 6 months. He was killed in Vietnam.
Mm.
He volunteered. He thought he was serving his country. Well, lo and behold, now at this point, we learned the history of Vietnam, and we know that the generals, the military, Lyndon Johnson, the people in the Defense Department knew that in 68, 67, we weren't going to win that war, and all those guys that died, they died for nothing. It's just like what's going on right now.
It certainly is.
You know, this 1,000 killed in Iraq, that's killed in theater. Now, if you get shot and you're wounded and you're flown out, you land in Ramstein, Germany, and you die there in a hospital, you're not killed in theater.
That's what I understand. That's what I understand.
You died. You were in the military, but you're not KIA.
Right.
Who knows what that true figure is of killed in action? Also, there have been 20,000, as of about 2 months ago, evacs from theater to the U.S., to Germany, to wherever, of wounded military personnel, mostly young men, because, let's face it, the women do not, I mean, they're there, but they're not in combat. We have 20,000 at least wounded, hands blown off, arms blown off, legs blown off, feet blown off. blown up, whatever, 20,000. And probably there's probably 3,000 servicemen that have been killed in relation to this war in Iraq.
Yeah.
These people knew when they went into office that they were going to invade Iraq. January 2001, before 9/11, they knew we're going to go to Iraq. We have a reason to go to Iraq. Whatever, myself, personally, I believe it's all about the oil. But call me a conspiracy theorist, whatever.
Well, Al, I think you're right on the money with many things there, and I agree. I think this is going to go down in history as one of the great derelictions of duty in the history of this country.
It's really, you know, I think that John Dean has really hit it on the head that whether George Bush knowingly lied about the reasons to go to war or he just told us what Dick Cheney told him to tell us, either or, he has committed a high crime or misdemeanor according to the Constitution. He didn't lie about a blue dress. He didn't lie about an intern in the Oval Office. He lied about numerous different things, and a lot of people have died. 100,000 people at least.
Yes, Al. Hey, I thank you.
I grew up in the 60s, and I cannot tell you how PO'd I am, how angry I am that I am watching this every day go on. And then to see the fraud that took place in this last election, for people to stand there and tell me, hey, get over it. Bush won. Get over it. I'm not going to get over it. I don't know that Bush won. They haven't done a recount in Ohio yet. They haven't done a recount in New Mexico yet. They never did a recount in Florida in 2000. Give me a break.
Al, I got to move on. You made great points. I agree with every last one of them. And put your anger to good use. Al, thank you for calling.
Keep up the good work, man.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show, and we're going to be right back after these words. Don't go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Attention, parents of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
Parents, do you love your kids?
Yes!
Would you do anything for them?
Well,
if it were important to their health and well-being?
Yes!
Really?
Yes!
Then make sure to have your child's eyes examined by an optometrist at least every 2 years. And why?
Because we love our kids.
Because you love your kids.
Orthopedic surgeons are perfecting a promising new procedure that could end some tragic mistakes in the operating room. It's called Sign Your Sight, and it calls for surgeons to sign their initials directly on the patient in the correct spot where the surgery needs to happen while the patient watches. Some might say signing your sight is being overly cautious. We say when it comes to surgery, there's no such thing. For more on patient safety, visit AAOS.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
This is Power Talk 1200. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
And moving right along. We've got lots of folks on the phone right now. I do want to remind you to give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 for you lucky folks that live here locally. And for you equally lucky folks that live down in Naples Way, 263-6570. Give us a call. Even if you got something to say like that idiot Dave. I hate that. I'm not that kind of a guy. I'm really not. But when a guy just puts it out for all the world to hear, when you know guys are dying because they don't have armor, and you know we got the money, we authorized the money to pay for it, and we got some sucker in the middle that didn't take the money and give it to the people that make it, there's somebody responsible for this. Is it that hard to understand that? Don't give me any Pentagon mumbo jumbo. I don't know what all he was saying. Oh my. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi, Bill.
Well, you know, you can't blame some of these people because the Republican propaganda machine is so powerful. Even today, I read a report where the Army is contacting Jacksonville, where one of the defense contractors is, asking them to increase production, blah, 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 and it completely denies or doesn't mention that the capacity was already there and the company had already asked to increase it, and they were refused because there was no money.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Well, it's so bad now that even the Democrats have to share the shame now, because we're going to go down in history as a so-called civilization that had to decide either to protect the tax cut for the wealthiest people in this country or to protect our people in the field, and we have consciously made the decision to protect the wealthy people and let our people get shot, and it's a shameful thing, and the only thing we can do to get out of this shame is to get our Democrats in office.
Man, we're not going to be known as the greatest generation, are we?
No, well, that's not going to happen.
No.
And, you know, you talk about LBJ, and I'm not a big fan of his, and I know he's got faults, but I'm proud of what he did with civil rights.
Yes.
And he, during the Vietnam time, he put a 10% surtax on the income tax so that all the people that paid income tax could share a little bit in the sacrifice, like our people over there, they're in the war. And how much more honest that was than trying to give a tax cut during a war. It's pathetic.
Well, you know, Bushy, he's known for his innovative style, and the tax cut during wartime, I got to admit, that one's pretty innovative.
Well, I want to say something about Pat Buchanan, too, because, you know, we're not in kindergarten. We know Pat Buchanan is never going to be a liberal, but in many ways, he is a great friend of the liberals, because he can see what's going on. When we have something called free trade, you can't have free trade between an industrial country like the United States and a dictatorship, a communist country with slave labor, and you can't have free trade between those two people. The only people that are going to lose are the American workers, and Pat Buchanan is standing up for that. And I don't care if he is a conservative, he's on our side on that.
Yeah, right is right and wrong is wrong, and that was a mistake. I don't care. Our trade policies in the 90s, they were mistakes, and they've been proven to be mistakes.
And I want to say something else in his defense. Oftentimes, you know, he is very hawkish, and he's sometimes called a chicken hawk. Pat Buchanan's older brother was an Army officer. Pat Buchanan went to ROTC with full intentions to go in the Army and failed the physical. He's 4F. So he's not like Cheney and one of these deferment people. He is somebody that couldn't pass a physical, and believe me, he's no chicken hawk.
It's a whole other story. Hey, Bill, thanks.
One other thing. When our president said that, when the soldier asked a question, our president said, I would have asked the same question, and I was waiting for him to say if I wasn't a draft dodger myself. But the big question is, and Dirty Needle Limbaugh tried to make it sound like the press put him up to it. They did help him with it. But the real question is, why can't our press ask a question like that? Do we have a Gestapo in the Bush administration that'll get even with anybody in the press? So why can't the press stand up and ask such an obvious
exactly.
question?
Exactly.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for your call, Bill. Speaking of Mr. Limbaugh,
there is an enormous cost to saving lives. We may have to rethink this, ladies and gentlemen, because there is an enormous cost here to saving lives. We're creating a generation of severely wounded young veterans, and a severe shortage of military surgeons because they're all in the front line saving lives. That's not good. What in the world are we talking about? Should we let them die? The answer to this is they're livid. The press, the leftists in this country are just upset that there are not enough deaths to get people outraged and protesting in the streets against the war. They're mad that these doctors are saving lives. They want deaths. They've been counting deaths up to 1,000. They hope that would get Bush out of office. They still want Bush out of office. Make no mistake about it. They still want Bush discredited, and it's all part of coming back in 06 and 08. And so there are too many lives being saved over there. These lives in old wars, they would have died. These soldiers in old wars would have died, like Vietnam. And we would have had people protesting in the streets, but now these surgeons are saving too many lives. There aren't enough deaths, so people aren't going to be mad. It's makes total sense to me. In fact, it's sort of like the left complaining when you tell them crime is down. Remember, one of the things I warned you about the Democrats, bad news for America is good news for them. Good news for America, bad news for them. They've doubled their bets. It's gotten to the point now where the more deaths in Iraq, the better for them, they think. The more lives saved in Iraq, the bigger the problem for them.
Wow. Is that something? Is it
now,
amazing?
Now, what we have in America, and I've explained this before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. You have a defamation pipeline that starts in the Internet. So every day, the radio factor's on the air. We have these creeps, and they really are the most vile, despicable human beings in the country, who listen to every word of the program.
That's right, Bill.
And then they try to feed stuff out to the mainstream media.
Oh, they don't try. They actually
do
it, Bill.
Discredit me.
They
do
discredit
you, Bill.
That's
what they do every single day of the year.
You're a pervert, Bill.
So, last Friday, we had a caller. We were talking about the Christmas being discussed in schools and in the public arena.
Sexual deviant,
Bill. So, one of these far-left websites taped it, and they sent it to the Anti-Defamation League, which is a extremist
defamation?
Group.
What
that,
about the girl? How about that, Bill?
Pretty much everything. Abraham Foxman is the national director. Mm-hmm. These are the people who accused anybody of liking the Passion of the Christ as being anti-Semitic. What you get in the game here. You criticize anybody, you challenge anybody, then you are a bigot.
Hold your
head down. And that's why nobody does it. That's why nobody sticks up for Christmas, except me.
Sticking up for
Christmas? Did Peter Jennings stick up for Christmas last night? I don't believe he did.
Oh, my God.
How about Brian Williams? Did he? Did Rather stick up for Christmas?
Gee whiz.
How about Jim Lehrer? Did he? Did Larry King? Hello, I love Christmas.
Sticking up for Christmas. Bill O'Reilly.
All right. And the reason they don't?
What a guy.
Is because of this. So we are not intimidated.
Ooh.
We know how dishonest and
very scared
the defamation pipeline is.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, I'm not portraying myself as a victim here.
Oh, no.
I'm not doing that.
No, you'd never do that.
I am attacking these people
for
being the worst element in American society. Let me repeat that. The left-wing websites who are responsible for all of this kind of stuff and the journalists in the newspapers who print it without any context, are the worst element, non-criminal element, in the country.
Wow. That's
they
really something.
They are despicable, vile human beings. Ankle biters. So I'm no victim because I got a forum and I can give it right back to them. They fear me. The far left is getting pounded by the factor.
My God, I'm shaking right now. I can, my heart's all a flutter right now. I mean, there we had a guy lashing out. Not a victim. He's on the offense. This is Mr. Bill, sexual deviant, pervert, O'Reilly. Defending Christmas. Nobody else defended Christmas but Bill. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Did you notice, folks, the talking points came out last week? I knew about it at 6:30 in the morning. The talking points on the Fox Network for the day were going to be about various people around the country that had a little something against Christmas for religious reasons and all. They were going to trumpet that fact all day long, and they did. And right there you had Mr. O'Reilly speaking the party line of Roger Ailes, everybody's against Christmas except us. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for saving Jesus. And thank you for saving Santa Claus. Hey, we're going to be right back after these words. We got plenty more. You're listening to the Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers. You stay there. We'll be back.
A Democrat and proud of it.
Guy James.
Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
The President, physically fit. I'm Joan Bennett. President Bush spent part of his day at the Bethesda Naval Hospital getting checked out by a team of doctors who declared him to be fit for duty. Though Mr. Bush said the campaign didn't help his waistline.
I'm a little overweight and therefore fully intend to lose some inches off my waistline and some pounds off my frame. But other than that, I'm feeling great.
The president also visited with Marines, sailors, and a soldier wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. There was another U.S. combat death in Iraq today. A Marine was killed during operations in the volatile Anbar province. President Bush is expected to move quickly on a replacement for Bernard Kerik, who was his nominee for Secretary of Homeland Security. Kerik withdrew his name last night, citing nanny problems. ABC's Rich Esposito says the former New York City police commissioner discovered potential tax and immigration problems involving a former housekeeper.
Those who know Bernie tell ABC that this sloppiness was not intentional, but was part of a very tumultuous year for Bernie that included a pregnant wife and a stint in Iraq for the United States.
Kerik says he owes President Bush a great apology for having to pull out of consideration as Homeland Security Chief. 2 weeks before Ukraine's presidential rematch, a confirmation from Austrian doctors that opposition candidate Viktor Yushchenko was poisoned. ABC's Tom Rivers with the latest.
There is no doubt that Viktor Yushchenko was poisoned by high levels of dioxin, said to be 1,000 times above the level found in normal blood or tissue samples. The head of the Austrian medical team, Dr. Michael Zimpfer, says the poison was ingested orally. Yushchenko has contended that Ukrainian authorities were responsible.
The supporters of Yushchenko's chief rival say today's announcement is all political. Yasser Arafat's nephew says his uncle may have been poisoned. He cites a lack of clear reason for Arafat's death last month in France. This is ABC News.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs for your small business. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $409 after a $70 instant discount plus tax. Monitor not included. Order select systems today and get free 3 to 5 day shipping. Continental U.S. only, except Alaska. So visit DellRadio.com and get more out of now for your business. Dell systems use Intel Pentium 4 processors.
This is it. Dunkin's Diamonds is having the greatest Christmas sale ever. Everything in the entire store is specially priced right now, including our huge selection of diamond earrings starting at just $99. Christmas will be here before you know it, so now's your best time to buy quality diamonds and the most fashionable jewelry at unbeatable prices. At Dunkin's Diamonds, you'll be amazed and you'll find 5 times the selection of a typical jewelry store. Buy selected diamonds at New York wholesale prices. See our collection of previously enjoyed Rolex watches. This Christmas sale at Dunkin's is the biggest ever. You can open a Dunkin's charge account and save with fantastic holiday financing plans available during this gigantic Christmas sale. Now's the time to save. It's all happening right now at Dunkin's Diamonds. Don't miss it. Everything in the store is specially priced for our largest ever Christmas sale. You'll find selected diamonds at wholesale prices, and you'll find the best styles and designs. Dunkin's Diamonds in Fort Myers on U.S. 41 in Port Charlotte at the Town Center Mall.
Wholesale pricing index, Rappaport Diamond Report, Volume 27, Number 26.
This is a quiet message about noise and the possibility there's too much of it in your life. Audiologists know that everyday sounds, like lawnmowers, music with headphones, even the commotion of a crowded restaurant, can hit 85 decibels. That's loud enough, over time, to cause permanent hearing loss. So keep an eye on your ears. For more on hearing health and the 85 danger zone, visit asha.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association.
Ah,
to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hello, and welcome back to the last hour of the Guy James Show today. First of all, let me get a little house cleaning done here. I want to remind you of a few things. First of all, you can call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7504. Is that right? Okay. 03 is not working, so that's why. And 479-5540 locally here in Lee County, 263-6570 for all you lucky folks in Collier County. I do want to remind everybody that this is a listener-supported program. If you'd like to support this program, if you like what you've heard, even if you don't like what you've heard, all you guys out there that are right-wingers that call in, you're getting some good out of this show, too. You go and contribute. We're demanding that from you. www.theguyjamesshow.com. You can do it right on there via PayPal or our address for snail mails on there as well. Also, want to tell you about a big change. The press release. I've got it right in my hand, hot off the press. Guy James moves to Wink WNOG Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. I'll just read the press release. Guy James, who celebrated two years on the air in Southwest Florida on December 6th, announces his move from Power Talk 1200 AM in Fort Myers to the well-known, longtime favorite Wink 1240 AM, WNOG 1270 AM. A three-hour show will now be heard from 7 to 10 p.m. every Saturday night. So, listen, you got to call everybody you know here locally. Call all your neighbors. In fact, if go down and knock on their door and tell them about this. This is really huge news, all right? And everybody on the Internet will be streaming the show from 7 to 10, starting at 7 o'clock on January the 8th. One other thing before I get back to the phones here. If you've got an announcement that we support and you would like to put on the show, be sure and let us know. And I want to tell you about one of those right now. They're having an anti-war toy protest to stop the violence in children's lives. This is going to be Saturday. Get your pencil and paper out. Now, I warned you. Get your pencil and paper out. Saturday, December 18th. That's next Saturday. From 4 to 5 p.m. That's right during the show. But they'll have their transistor radios and headphones with them, I'm sure. It's going to be in front of Toys R Us, Airport Polling, and Pine Ridge Road. That's for folks that want to protest the violent toys that are being sold and teaching our kids, teaching them about violence the way I see it. So maybe it's a good thing. So stop on down if you're interested in that. In front of Toys R Us at Airport Pulling and Pine Ridge Road, that is in Naples, Saturday, December 18th from 4 to 5 p.m. That's an anti-war toy protest to stop the violence in children's lives. Oh, yes, so much to talk about here today. Let's go to Mike in Fort Myers. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Great.
I just was going to comment on this armored vehicle situation. I'm a radio junkie. I listen to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
And
well, you must really be messed up, huh?
Oh, I'm really befuddled and confused. I just hit age 50 about a week ago, so I'm sliding.
All right.
But I listen to various talk show hosts, and you know what we get down here in South Florida.
Oh yeah.
And then I have a one of those radios that gets long distance DX fairly well, and put up a good antenna and. I listen all on the shortwave bands, too. And everybody last week was up in arms that this journalist was embedded with these troops from the paper in Chattanooga, had to wrangle his way into the press conference via a couple of soldiers to have a question asked.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Hannity claims that it was all right that the question was asked by
I see.
And if the soldiers don't know what's going on back at home, who's going to inform them of that?
Exactly right.
Some things that have come out that I have found out, and I'm visually impaired. I get on the internet, and I have a voice output on my computer that reads all this stuff, so I'm a little bit wacky, too. That's the second page of my wackiness.
Speak up a little if you can, Mike.
Okay, that's the second page of my wackiness. I have a computer that I go out on the internet with, and it has a voice output, so it reads it to me because I can't see the screen. I had found out that instead of 300 vehicles being serviced once, you know, every month, the figures have gone up to 5,700 vehicles being serviced now each month. And instead of 800 miles a year they're driven, they're now driven close to 8,000 miles a year.
Wow.
So we're putting a strain on the maintenance, we're putting a strain on the people who do the maintenance, and we may be taxing the whole system. And when you armor a vehicle like that, that's only designed to carry a certain amount of weight, with a certain engine in it and transmission, you're putting an undue strain on that motor and that transmission and that whole vehicle, suspension and otherwise. So by armoring these vehicles, which they have to be, we're spending quite a bit of money on maintenance, and that's not being accounted for.
And lowering the shelf life of them as well.
That is correct. And I believe in my heart that what the Jacksonville firm is saying is correct. That, what is it, Armor Holdings?
Yes.
There's a firm out in Tempe, Arizona, that supposedly also claimed that they could have made more vehicles or more body armor than the Army had asked for. And I cannot say that these two firms are lying, too, because if they don't ask for it, it's not going to be made. But I know a lot of these firms supposedly could produce 500 or 600 vehicles a month as opposed to the 400 or 450.
Yeah, and their plant in Cincinnati as well had extra capacity that wasn't being used.
So what we plan for here, or what they plan for here, is they haven't planned for it.
Exactly.
They thought that when that statue came down in Baghdad, that was overwhelming support for what they were doing over there. And listen, God bless the troops. I love them. I support them. And we have the right to question here in this country because we are a democracy. We can voice our opinion without being shot or ridiculed. And I think it's up to each of us to take that position to learn about what's going on and not to just accept things and go like lambs to the slaughter here.
Exactly.
Believing wholly that what we are fed is the truth. And I appreciate you being on, and I appreciate all the other ways that I can gather information, and I think it's a good thing. And if more people would open their eyes to this fact, then we would be a more educated country and not just go blindly into this thing.
Mike, thanks for your call.
I appreciate it.
Great to hear from you. Well, let me see here. Where are we going to go? Let's go up and visit with Eric in Vermont. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
I'm doing great, too. Wanted to call. I was really getting into the Bush said fit for duty after physical report that AP put out this afternoon. Boy, I'll tell you, there's some funny numbers in there that don't really correlate with some sort of emotional, neurological figures, which were not reported.
Eric, a little deeper, please. What are you referring to?
There is Bush had a physical today on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that was reported by the Associated Press, and I was picking up a blurb through ABC News.
I see.
Yeah, and there were some funny physical kind of things going on there, like blood pressure was 110 over 62, which is kind of a little high on the upside, and 45 beats per minute on the low side for number of triggers. It doesn't really get into the psychological and neurological aspects of any sort of physical examination at all in this report. And I thought that was rather strange. The presiding people that were over there in terms of his medical staff had to do with radiology, optometry, sports physician, hearing specialist, skin specialist, cardiologist. But it doesn't really get into a lot of the issues that may be something related to quandaries that some people may have had about Reagan in 1988 when he had a physical that was reported as being that there were some neurological problems there, though that wasn't out on the mainstream media. And it just seems really strange to me, some of the numbers physiologically and as compared to the neurological possibilities of what's going. And I guess the bottom point of my question is, what sort of standard should the President of the United States have to stand up to in terms of having some sort of a psychological profile, in terms of the psychological aspects of his fitness for duty, rather than just a physical?
Yeah, but who's going to be the doctor that's going to stand up and tell the President of the United States he's Looney Tunes?
Excellent question.
that'd take some Surgeon General, wouldn't it?
Excellent question. And who hires the Attorney General or the Physician General, whatever?
Well, C. Everett Koop a while back. He probably would have had the temerity to tell the President of the United States.
He was a good man.
Yeah.
Good man. Anyway, I don't want to waste any time here. I just thought that whole report seemed like rather obscure, especially since it wasn't released before the election.
I look forward to reading it. Thank you for calling, Eric.
Thank you very much for being there.
Thank you so much for your support of the program. I appreciate it more than you know, believe me. Let's go on up to Gene in Naples right now. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
Great news about the move to Wink WNOG. Two stations are always better than one. Listen, you mentioned earlier about people calling in and making announcements. I've got one I'd like to make.
Yeah, speak up a little if you can, Gene.
Sure. I tell you, these phones are rough today. I've been listening on the radio, and the callers are really hard to hear on any line. But I'm hoping the station will get the phone problem worked out, because I know you depend so much on these great callers, it's hard to hear any of them. Am I talking loud enough?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to mention the Collier County Democratic Club in Naples is having their big holiday social on Monday, the 20th of December. That's a week from this coming Monday at Naples Bath and Tennis Club at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a great spread of food, great entertainment with the fabulous Maxine Mites. Some of you folks may have seen her on the Mike Douglas Show, one of America's great jazz singers. Maxine's going to be there doing some Christmas music. Santa Claus is going to be there. A little bit of everything going on, but most importantly, about 150 to 200 Democrats are going to be there for their holiday social. We're going to all bring presents for the Shelter for Abused Women and Children in Naples, trying to help those folks out. We're asking everybody that comes to the holiday social to bring an unwrapped new gift for either one of the women or the children there that stay in that shelter. We want to do everything we can to help those folks in this holiday season. But
excellent.
The main thing is, come on out and enjoy yourself on the 20th at 7 o'clock at Naples Bath and Tennis Club. It's $25 per person, plus we have a cash bar, but there's going to be a lavish buffet spread of gourmet hors d'oeuvres. It's going to be a fabulous night and a great way to kick off the holiday season before we get into Christmas. And we want to invite all our Democrat friends. And, of course, Guy, if you're in town and not amongst all your travels. I know you're into Washington and everywhere all the time, but if you're in town, you're invited too.
Hey, I did hear you mention food, didn't I?
Oh, you betcha. A ton of it.
They always put on a mean spread down at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club, believe me. Give us the time and date again, please.
It is on Monday, the 20th of December. That's a week from this Monday.
Yeah.
You don't need a reservation or anything. Just show up 7 o'clock. You don't have to dress up. Just what they call cocktail social dress, which I guess is, I don't know, sport shirt and slacks or something, or a cocktail dress for the ladies. Bring a gift, if you can, for the Shelter for Abused Women and Children. Unwrapped, new gift. And we're going to have a great time that night. Great entertainment. Even Santa Claus is going to drop in on us.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Gene.
You bet. Keep up the great work, and looking forward to hearing you on Wink WNOG.
Yes, we're looking forward to being there. Thanks. And we're looking forward to all the folks down in Naples joining us every week as well. We've got a great Democratic group down in Naples, believe me. A highly energetic Democratic club huge Democratic club in Naples, and we're very proud of the work they've done this year indeed. Let's go to Scott in Port Charlotte. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I hope this change works out for you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'd like to remind your listeners about Mr. Rumsfeld. Anybody recalls a while back in which the Baghdad Museum was looted and everybody was complaining about the loss of 28,000 artifacts. This brilliant gentleman threw his hands up in the air on television. He says, everybody loots. Everybody loots. Doesn't that give you a feeling of what this guy is coming from?
I think there's something terribly wrong with the man myself. I've thought that all along. He's the worst egomaniac I think I've ever seen.
But the trouble is, he's a dangerous egomaniac.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the answer to this question for me. I don't know. I understand that Humvees are something. They're very, very expensive. Whether you're on the...
Oh, yeah, they are.
How much do they cost?
Can I get you to speak up a little bit?
How much do they cost?
Well, I think they're around... I got that somewhere here. I think they're around $58,000, and then there's some more with the armor put on them.
Why are they taking something like that and putting it in a military field?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand that. I can understand how they did with it. You know, in the other system, they had heavily regular armored vehicles. Why are they doing it this way?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm certainly not an expert on that. It says their Armor Holdings Company has cut the price for the armor it supplies to the trucks, the armor, at $58,000 a vehicle.
According to this girl on television, is even though they're putting heavy armor on it, the ball joints cannot take it.
Yeah.
All this other mechanism, the gear can't take it. Don't you find this thing scary?
I do. The billions of dollars, there's no excuse. The billions of dollars, I don't care whose fault it is, if it's the Democrats, if it's Republicans, it doesn't matter to me. With the billions of dollars we spend on the military, there is absolutely no excuse for having a problem like this. None.
But it's going to continue. It's not going to continue.
Yes, it is. It is going to continue.
This gentleman who's a Republican, I mean, I wish he looked at the facts. Anybody watching PBS, anybody like that, these poor kids are getting shot up so badly.
That's right.
And it takes months for them to get any kind of reasonable service. And I'm not a medical man, but the person's got a finite length of time before they can put on an artificial leg. And 2 years down the road is not an answer to it. And I wish that gentleman, I hope he's listening, who's a Republican, who says everything is fine.
Thanks for your call, Scott. You're fading out on us completely here. Thanks so much for calling. I do appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hi.
Great.
I'm going to miss you this holidays.
Hey.
I'd like to talk about two or three things shortly. Make them short.
All right.
About Rumsfeld. I'm retired, so I have the luxury of watching a lot of the hearings and so forth. And for the past 2 years, I've listened, you know, the hearings with Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and different ones, you know. And nearly every time, the armor is brought up. And they sit and act like they never heard it before.
Yeah.
And then another thing is that, you know, we're not supposed to criticize because that means we're not patriotic. It isn't an analogy. That's what I think I'm going to be telling you, is that during Diana's death, her funeral, mm-hmm. memorial, Queen Elizabeth got criticized. And, you know, people thought she didn't care. And she got on to it and said how hurt she was. And then she came out and looked at all the flowers and all the mourners, and they weren't going to have a state funeral, but they did.
That's right.
She changed it. Now, and she seemed shocked that they were such a devotion toward Diana. And she didn't get, you know, I mean, Bush, would Bush have done that? He'd probably arrested
them. once he starts heading down the road, he's not about to get off of that road. He's going. He's got tunnel vision to wherever he's going, and just doesn't care.
And another, it's strange that our country is we treat him like he's infallible, and over in England. The prime minister gets barraged with all kind of questions and hoots and hollers, and over here we're just too dignified to do that.
That's right.
And one more thing is, I heard that John Kerry is going over to Iraq after the first of the year. Do you know anything about that?
No, I really don't. I hadn't heard about that.
So I think that's going to be great. And the gentleman that wanted to know what our party would do, they would do something. Let's put it that way.
Well, they would
have done something, and that's what hurts so bad about us losing.
Thank you for your call, Juanita.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your call. Do appreciate it. Let's go to Layla in Fort Myers. Hi, Layla.
Hi, Guy James. I just wanted to touch base on, I know you've been discussing Bernie Kaig, Craig, on the issue of the Homeland Security.
Oh, Bernie Kaig.
Yes, yeah. Bernie Kaig. And I know you've talked about it, but I wanted to get it off my chest, too, because if I can get this information that is out there for everyone to have, and George Bush, who didn't investigate or do a background check on this man for a Homeland Security, what kind of a country are we leading here? Just because he's a friend of Giuliani's doesn't make him qualified for a position such as that. I mean, I have an itinerary of everything that he's done wrong. His involvement with this Taser International, making $6.2 million in profits. His abandoned on in Iraq on the post that President Bush gave him to train Iraqi police force, and that fell through. The New York Police Department credentials, Those are all questionable. I mean, the list goes on, and it's no wonder that he resigned, because he knew that this stuff was going to be coming out, but his lawyer said, well, you know, he volunteered to take his name off.
Well, I agree with you. I think the nanny thing was just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, of course, because he knew that this was all out for everybody, everybody except George Bush. Everybody knew this except him. Now, does that smell like something's really wrong?
It certainly does.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is, I know that you're changing your hours to 7 to 10.
Yes.
I want to talk to the Democrats and the Internet listeners, and I want to know if they realize that it takes money for you to stay on the air, because this has been a very difficult time. You can't go from month to month, from what I understand. You need to have funds to pay to be on the air. And it's thanks to the few people who have contributed to this Guy James show. That's why you're on the air. But we need to get the whole Democrats, all of the Internet listeners, all of the Republicans that want to call in if they have a disagreement with you. We need to have... My point is, we need to have you on, not month by month, but we need to have you on for the whole year. And people need to know this. They need to contribute, not for just this month, but for the whole year. I guess that's the way it's done on public support programs. Is that correct?
Well, they have, the quarterly things, I think.
They have the, okay. But it's been difficult, and we need to, I don't understand why, they must not want you on the air if they don't want to publicly support you. Because I hear your caller saying you're doing a wonderful job. Well, the job is only done if it's paid for, correct? And yet, and you don't personally get any money, and you do a lot of research on this. You have to be doing a lot of research for the type of program that you have, because you have a lot of factual information, and that takes time, correct?
Yes, that's true.
And you're doing it on your... I have never heard of any radio talk show person being on the radio for 3 hours and not getting paid for it.
I don't think
Randy Rhodes would do that.
Well, that's
would Al Franken do that?
That's what we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call, Ed.
Yes, and listeners, support the Guy James Show.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Goodbye now. Let's go to Preston and Denver, one of the coolest, and I do mean coolest, places in the country. Hi, Preston.
Hi, Guy. Well, I couldn't agree with your previous caller more about the need to support important programs like yours. And, you know, the previous caller asked about, you know, what would the Democrats do? What would a Democratic administration look like if it was truly democratic? You know, I think media reform would be part of that. You know, passing bills, making incentives for community participatory forums like this around the country, instead of so many hours of, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, who, to their credit, they have some things to say as well.
Sure.
You know, they're representing big business by and large, but, you know, they've got their points to make too. But we have to have these other parts of the discussion, you know, from labor and from environmentalists and from feminist groups and from youth and elderly. You know, groups like the AARP and the Organic Consumers Union, you know, they could be on the public's airwaves as well. You know, another thing the Democrats could do would be to, you know, simple things like food labeling laws. You know, there's a big battle over genetically modified foods versus organic and issues like that that parents are concerned about and should have, you know, transparency about. You know, what are we eating? How is it produced? What are the workers being paid to pick our food and to, you know, work in the factory farms and stuff like that?
We have some good friends, Dick and Florence Nojay, over in Immokalee, Florida here, that are doing something about what the workers are going to get paid for picking our food. They've got a wonderful, wonderful program going on in Immokalee, much to their credit, and I think they're going to be successful with it too.
That's great. You know, the earlier caller was quoting George Bernard Shaw, mm-hmm. and some remarks about you know, the government taking care of you. Well, you know, Abraham Lincoln said the government should be of, by, and for us, and more of us should be paid by the government to do things like, you know, work in our libraries. And, you know, we don't need to ship everybody off to Iraq or to Colombia or to these other places that, you know, are unstable because of our policies.
And we find out this week we spent $65 million on the election over in... help me here.
The Ukraine?
In the Ukraine.
Yeah.
We've spent $65 million on that election.
Yeah. One thing that Bush did that I liked was that he signed a bill to give a tax rebate for the use of biodiesel.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that will only produce a fraction of what we need.
That's right, but it's a start.
Exactly.
It's something.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks, Preston.
Thank you, Guy.
Great to hear from you.
Likewise.
Do you want to help... I want to let the people know who's helping us right now, our contributors to the program, and this is just a partial list, and I'll get on some more of it this next coming week. David Groggins, William Sherrow. I've got a dial tone here coming up. Okay. William Sherrow, Ralph Edmondson in St. Louis, Vince D'Amici, Patrick O'Sullivan, Mr. and Mrs. Harold Schechter from Fort Myers, Elizabeth Harlow, Virginia Miller from Newton, Iowa, Elaine Miller from Newton, Iowa, Carolyn Patton-Dushke from Cape Coral, Florida, Barbara Presnell, Eric Peterson, Robert and Sable Wright from Durham, North Carolina, Preston Enright, Larry and Judy Golinski from Naples, Florida, Ryan Vith, Bill Beaumont, William Sherrow in Syracuse, New York, Dale Danford, Luciano Yersiti, Mr. and Mrs. Arnie Arneson, Jean Legg from Valley City, North Dakota. Thank her so much for that very nice letter to come along with that, too. Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sur, Robert and Donna Wood, the Welshels of Moultrie, Georgia, Marianne Stottlemyre from Murdoch, Florida, Chris Kern from Hudson, Florida, and Carolyn Wyatt from Madison, Wisconsin. We do so appreciate what you folks have done to help us keep this program on the air and make it bigger and better than ever, like we're going to do very soon. So I think we're going to pause for a break right now. You are listening to The Guy James Show. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot to talk about when we get back.
The Guy James Show.
A pop quiz for parents with second grade teacher Mrs. Ridge. Today's quiz will be a multiple choice. Number one, the last time I watched TV.
was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month? Number two, the last time I saw a movie was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month? Number three, the last time I watched pro sports was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month? And one more question, pass or fail. The last time I visited my child's school was A, last night, B, last week, C, last month, or D, none of the above.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
You put your keys between your knuckles. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. You lock the door behind you, maybe twice. Now you feel safe. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not eating right, if you're not active, or if you smoke, you're putting yourself at risk for disease. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
888-602-7500-7501-7503-7504-479-5540 here locally. I want to change direction just a little bit here, and I want to talk about Democratic politics for a minute. I don't know how many of you agree with me on this, but I'm very disappointed this week in Harry Reid. I wasn't all that strong of a Tom Daschle backer, as many of you know. I think Tom didn't show enough spine a lot of times, and somebody's going to hate me for saying that. But I've met Tom Daschle, I've talked to Tom Daschle, a nicer guy you'll never want to meet, but I just don't think he stood up to the Republicans strong enough. And, boy, did he pay a price recently, getting thrown out of office unceremoniously. So now along we come with the Senate Minority Leader-elect, Harry Reid from Nevada. My wife and I have met with Harry Reid from Nevada, and again, you won't meet a nicer fellow than Harry Reid. I'm not going to say all the Democratic politicians are really nice, because they're not. I've met with a lot more of them than no two fellows, but it just so happens that those two are very, very fine gentlemen, and Harry Reid is as well. I really respect Harry Reid. I think he's a fine, fine man. He's done a lot of good for Nevada. But I'm really perplexed as to why he said he would support Anton Scalia if he were nominated to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I got to wonder about that, Harry. I really do. He said, and let me quote him here. I picked up a quote from him. "I cannot dispute the fact, as I have said, that this is one smart guy," Reid said, of Scalia. "And I disagree with many of the results that he arrives at, but his reasons for arriving at those results are very hard to dispute." Well, now, Harry, I'll use a real stretch for a real stretch on this, and I'm sure, after reading all the history of Germany during the Second World War and leading up to it, I know that Adolf Hitler was a master at manipulating people and getting his way. And he was the master. He was very good at manipulating people and getting his way and so forth. And I disagree with everything he did, but he was good at doing what he did. So, I mean, I think it's kind of the same thing. I'm not saying I'm comparing Scalia to Hitler. I'm just saying, just because you think he's a smart guy, certainly doesn't mean he ought to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. I think that's a real stretch. So, Harry, rethink that, will you? It's probably going to be one of those things you can't go back on right now. And for my Democratic friends, and a lot of squabbling going on right now, and I knew there would be. You knew there would be. You knew if we lost this election, the old fighting was going to begin once a day. You know, we're not Republicans, and we've got 100 different ways we come at everything. There's just so many different kinds of Democrats. There's about two kinds of Republicans. There's the conservatives and the neoconservatives, and they don't fight about anything within their party, it seems. But we're thinkers, and so we fight a lot. And you knew this was coming, and only a couple of days passed after the election until, very predictably, the Democrats started sniping at each other and blaming each other. And I just did a little of it right there against Harry Reid. We had another loss. So, that type of behavior is so typical of the Democrats. You all know that. We lose and we start hollering at each other about our message being wrong. Our message is not wrong. First of all, that's what I want you to think about. All of you that are thinking about remaking the party, our message is not wrong. We got outplayed. Plain and simple. They beat us in the trenches once again. We had the better team. We had the better players. We had the wrong game plan. It's that simple. It was like having a... What would be a good analogy? Like having an Indy 500 race car and trying to run it on regular gas. It'll run, but not very well, not firing on all cylinders and missing and popping. And that's what happened to the Democratic Party in this last election. Kerry was a fine candidate. He was a fine candidate. And as you could see throughout that whole election process, he was clean as the driven snow. He was well-spoken. John Kerry's a great guy, and I'm proud. I don't care. We lost. I know we lost, and I don't care what a lot of you think about it. And I know all the people that didn't back him are coming up out of the weeds now and saying, it's that damn Kerry. Well, John Kerry was a great candidate. Now, he's not the best candidate we've ever had. He was no Bill Clinton, to be sure, but then who is? And John Edwards, a better vice presidential candidate never existed than John Edwards. These guys were both as clean as could be and very upstanding, ethical, very moral, honest guys. I just can't understand why so many within the party want to tear it apart and start all over again. We've got a solid foundation. We know what the Democratic Party stands for. We raised more money than did the Republicans, but somewhere, somehow, they got the better of us. We don't need to tear the Democratic Party apart. We just need a tune-up and some racing fuel for that Indy 500 car. The Karl Rove, James Carville type of racing fuel. I've heard from many of you regarding my stated views on this subject, but I very respectfully disagree with those of you who are advocating assembling a new party and taking the high road during the campaign. I too have a distaste for negative campaigning, but face it, it works. And we let the big fish Bush completely off the hook during this past campaign. And I think our mistake was that, we need to be relentless in pointing out the terrible mistakes of this misadministration. We needed to hammer them like they hammered us. And talk radio is an important part of the answer. We need more shows like this one, countering every lie they tell. And we need to be pointing out every one of their terrible policy mistakes and pointing out why. And this is important, and one of our callers brought it to my attention, and I think we'll do better in this in the future. But we need to be pointing out why the current ultra-conservative movement is a terrible, terrible choice for America. And let's educate people and tell them why the Democratic Party is a better choice. We didn't do a good job of that. That is the answer. And folks, as we've been saying all day today, it's up to you to help us do that. Let's go to Ron in Estero. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I've never called you before or anybody else, on talk radio. I always wanted to. But,
well, I'm honored.
I'm not as eloquent as some of your callers, So
well,
I don't know how to put my words together that well. But anyways, I'm an ex-Vietnam vet, and I was on armored personnel carriers in Vietnam, and I was just wondering about this problem that they're having with their vehicles or whatever over there. When I was in Vietnam, we had problems, yes. But we always carried a mechanic with us. We went in a company with four platoons, so there was four mechanics. And, we lost, in 1 month, we lost four APCs to mines. And, as soon as we lost an APC, there was another one there right then. It was, I'm not saying it was a good war, because it wasn't, but it seemed to be more organized or something. I don't know whether people are complaining about down, you know, or not stepping up to the plate. You kind of know what I mean, not giving our people what they really need. But I'll tell you what, when I was in Nam, you know, I mean, it's been 35 years ago, but we had no problems whatsoever about getting any kind of equipment as soon as we needed it. I don't care whether it was your M16 messed up or a 50 caliber on the APC or whatever, you know.
Let me ask you a question, Ron. When the APCs were put out of action and couldn't be fixed or put it back in action, were there guys killed in them when that happened?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We, in fact, I was on what they called, we had, like in my platoon, 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, 3-4, four tracks. We lost my track three times, and I got through it with just minor wounds, but we finally called my track 3-0 because we thought that we weren't going to call it 3-1 anymore, you know.
Well, why, what did they hit you with?
Mines. We were in what they called the Iron Triangle, 45 miles northwest of Saigon, and never seen the enemy for 4 or 5 days. There was a colonel in what you call a loach, which is a two-man helicopter telling you where to go, you know, because, you know, I guess he wanted more ribbons or something to, when he went back to Washington or whatever. But, and finally, then they took us right out of that area and sent us up to Anlock. But,
well, how would you have felt if you'd arrived in Da Nang or someplace in Vietnam and your company commander, your sergeant, said, hey, guys, come with me. We're going to go over to the junk pile, and we're going to get some stuff to put on our armored vehicles there so we can be safer.
That wouldn't have been cool at all.
No. How would it have made you feel right off the bat?
Well, it wouldn't have made me feel very good at all.
Not very confident.
No, but I was confident about the equipment when I was in Vietnam because it was right there again. So what's happened in the 35 years? Has the government fallen down? Is the military people, is somebody not talking to somebody or what? I mean, we're supposed to have so much more technology now than we had back then.
Oh, imagine the difference between when you were in Vietnam and now, what, 36 years or so?
Yeah, I was there in 68, 69.
Yeah. Yeah, much better armor, much better vehicles and so forth. But, yeah, somebody dropped a ball on this. Nobody wants to admit it.
Yeah, it's just a shame that that these guys have to be over there and not protected.
Yeah, I feel terrible about it, as you must know by listening to the program today. Ron, thanks so much for calling.
Well, thank you so much.
Most honored and most decorated soldier in America, retired, David Hackworth. I spoke with Hack a while back about this war. And as you know, David Hackworth is no pansy. David Hackworth is a man that if you were on the other side, you would not want to tangle with the group David Hackworth was in. This guy was Mr. Tough in Vietnam. But he's retired now, and he has a column that he writes, and I'd just like to tell you a little bit out of this column. I know a lot of you haven't heard the column or seen the column. Hack writes, "We'll soon have 150,000 U.S. troops stuck in the ever-expanding Iraqi quagmire, a number that will probably grow even larger before Iraq holds election presently scheduled for the end of January 05. Maintaining such a force is a logistical and personal nightmare for every grunt in Iraq. And according to several Pentagon number crunchers, it's also driving the top brass bonkers. Meanwhile, the insurgents continue cutting our supply lines and whacking our fighting platoons and supporters who attrit daily as soldiers and Marines fall to enemy shots, sickness, or accidents. Empty platoons lose fights, so these casualties have to be replaced ASAP. And Hack goes on to say, since this tragic war kicked off in March of 2003, the United States has evacuated an estimated 50,000 killed in action, wounded in action, and non-battle casualties from Iraq back to the United States, leaving 50,000 slots that had to be filled. The job of finding fresh bodies to keep our units topped off by falls mainly to the Army Recruiting Command. But the making quota jazz put out by the Recruiting Command and the Pentagon to hype their billion-dollar recruiting effort with its huge TV expenditure and big expansion of recruiters during the past year is purely unadulterated spin. Not that this is anything new. The command has a sorry reputation for using smoke and mirrors to cover up poor performance. Hack, here's a snapshot of how little of our first quarter mission has been achieved, says an Army recruiter. He's telling Hack this. Look at it from a perspective of a business releasing quarterly earnings information. So Hack tells us what the information that he got from the recruiters was. The regular Army volume, their quota was 25,322 new recruits. They achieved 12,000. 50% of their goal, and they're bragging about how the morale and everything is. 50% of their goal. The Army Reserve did even less. The Army Reserve had a mission of 7,373 new recruits. They got 3,200. This is across the country, folks. Only 43% of their objective. The Army National Guard is faring no better. A guard retention NCO says the word is out on the streets of Washington, D.C. Do not join the Guard. And Hack says, I see these words echoing right across the USA. Remember, this is from a brilliant, highly decorated soldier, Colonel David Hackworth. He goes on to say, I believe the Army will have to drastically change what they offered to enlistees to overcome what's happening in Iraq. This war is ugly, and not many kids want to enlist to be blown up. Moms and dads are outraged about desperate Army recruiters on a relentless campaign to sign up their teenagers. High school kids are actually running away from recruiters like they were George Romero's Living Dead. Recruiters have called, and he goes on he talked to a father here, interviewed a father. The father says, recruiters have called my son a minimum of 20 times in the 2 years since he finished high school, the dad reports. The phone calls usually come in clusters, four or five a day. Hack finishes this article up by saying, unless a miracle happens and the new Iraq security force decides to stop running and start fighting, we'll be in Iraq for a long, long time. And here's the sobering part about this entire thing. This entire article by David Hackworth. The last sentence in this is, you know, we'll be in Iraq for a long time, most likely with a drafty army. Think about that. Think about it. They've already started a backdoor draft. You know that. I forget the term they use by not letting people out when they're supposed to get out on time. Folks, you were snookered. We were all snookered during that election. Well, I'm not going to say I was snookered. I wasn't. Many people who are my political allies and ideological buddies, we were not snookered. We knew about this. But how many of you saw Junior Bush standing before the Marines at Camp Pendleton the other day? Wasn't that something? How many of you saw that? Resplendent in his G.I. Joe Mattel military jacket with the epaulets on the top and the big round patch that read Commander-in-Chief. Somebody sent me a quote that said he resembled a faux military stooge from the Grand Duchy of Fenwick in the classic Peter Sellers film. I have to go along with that. I think that's exactly what he did. Have you noticed how they dress him up like a little doll when he goes out? Puts a fancy jacket on, all the symbols that they can. I'm surprised he doesn't do like Musharraf over in Pakistan and get himself a real military uniform and just put a whole pack of ribbons on it and, you know, put the hat, the whole deal. I think maybe that's next. But, you know, I wish Bush and the company could be honest for a change when talking about this war. You know, when a member of Bush's administration calls an Iraqi insurrectionist a terrorist. He's talking about an Iraqi, not a terrorist. That's a guy that's defending his homeland. Though, to be sure, there's some Al-Qaeda over there, but mostly These are guys, neighborhood guys, that are defending their homes. They don't like somebody coming in and trying to take over their. And you know, he forgets about that CIA headquarters assessment that was sent in Virginia late last month when an officer ended a year-long tour in Iraq. You know, talking about how bad things over there and how tenuous this situation could remain until the end of 2005, and warning that they're at risk of a civil war. But Bush, you know, never to sit back and not have a word or two to say. He urged Americans to help battle-weary troops and their families at Christmas time, like we wouldn't do that, like we haven't thought about it. Yeah, you help our troops at Christmas time. Do remember our troops at Christmas time. Meanwhile, if a few of them get killed because Rummy and me didn't get the proper armor over to them, you know, well, you know, that's kind of, it happens. You know what I mean? It happens. And we'll get that armor over there as soon as we can. Yeah, there's going to be a few more die. Probably one of your kids, or one of your kids, or one of your cousins, or brothers, or aunts, or uncles. There'll be some more of them die because they didn't get the armor that they should have had from Rumsfeld and his boss. But do wish them a Merry Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, stand around that Christmas tree with your missing loved one who, you know, thinking about your missing loved one who died on account of not having the proper armor. That, by the way, and I want to say this again, and I'm not going to let go of this, not ever. Nobody in this administration had had the guts to stand up and say, you know what, I should have done better on this. I should have done better on this. But then I didn't expect them to, because they haven't taken the blame for a single thing that's happened. They started a war based on lies and misinformation. No one has apologized for that. They set out to start a war the day they were inaugurated in Washington, D.C. of January the 20th, 2000. They set in 2001, I guess. And they set out to start a war right then. And they dug up every lie that they could think of. And they used the tragic deaths of 3,000 Americans to start their war. That was a lie. They said they had the weapons of mass destruction. That was a lie. They said they had the programs of weapons of mass destruction. That was a lie. It's all been lies. It's all been a house of cards. But somehow, they talked the American public into buying it. And that's something that will baffle me for the rest of my life. I will never, ever understand that. But we're going to work against it. We're going to be the loyal opposition. We're not going to roll over and play dead here on this show or as Americans. We are going to be the loyal opposition. We are going to be patriots, and we are going to question what Mr. Bush and his gang does. We're going to question every move they make because they think they're going to steamroll over us right now. They're not going to. We're not going to let them. I want to thank you so much for listening to the program today. I appreciate all your cards and emails and donations. We are donation supported. You know, donate to the show. www.theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show. You'll never get better. Information. The world.
top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
The President.